talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yesterday was a real fun day. Today might not be so fun.
Oh.
You ready for it?
Okay.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, Kevin and B. You've been on the radio for a long time. Were there a lot of learning experience?
Learning experiences.
Tell me about you.
Tell me about you.
Beer mug.
The fruit salad of their life is what I would look at.
Hey, you know the drill.
And now.
What's going on? What's today?
Oh, you don't know.
Know what?
Know this. Oh, I thought I heard the music. Guess I timed it wrong.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. It's the 9th of March. Hey, Blondie.
Maybe I'm paranoid, but I feel like maybe that first soundbite was directed
about how we had
me.
So much fun yesterday.
Yeah, I feel like maybe you played that because
well, it was a little bit like the teacher was out and we had a substitute. It was a lot more fun.
You just watched
younger.
Movies.
Just watched movies.
Nice.
Just watched movies, exactly.
The turns going to the bathroom.
Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean Baxter.
Enlighten me on what the deal is with migraines. I don't know anything about them. And what are they and how are they related to your run-of-the-mill headache?
Imagine a headache.
Okay.
Now multiply that by a billion and have it maybe cluster in one area. Now have blurred vision and see like an orb out of one eye and at the same time be puking.
Okay, it sounds good so far.
Good night, everybody. How's everyone? Yeah, they're bad.
What causes them?
Well, a lot of different things. Mine are hormonal. You're welcome, everybody.
Well, that explains a lot about you.
I know. No, my mom had them. Her 5 sisters had them.
It's not something that happens to you. It's just something you're born with, and some people have it, and some people don't, just like allergies.
I think a lot is hereditary, but mine seem to be because every female in the family has them.
And is there medicine you can take to either lessen the impact when they occur or to stave them off so they occur less frequently?
As soon as I feel one coming on, I take my it's called Imitrex. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. It did not yesterday.
Yeah.
It did not at all.
My wife has migraines too, and that does nothing. There's nothing that helps. Mm-mm.
Do they get worse as you get older or do they get better as you get older?
Mine have gotten worse.
Oh.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's a bad direction.
Hey, dudes. How's it going?
Is it usually just a one-day thing?
No. No. Sometimes they're 3-4 days, and you are just in bed. You cannot move. You cannot. Even turning in bed is so much pain. Yesterday's was one of the hardest. It came on hard, and it left within three. Yeah, go ahead. Ding that. Left within 3 hours, which is something I enjoy.
I texted Allie yesterday and I said, how are you doing? I hope you're feeling better. And she said, yeah, I finished throwing up, so yay.
Yeah. Oh, real good. Oh, real good.
You weren't too sick to watch TV, though, were you?
I didn't watch TV until probably 6 o'clock at night.
Any kind of visual stimulus being there.
Oh, I see. That's what
so
it is.
So bad.
Do you just lay in a dark room and just sob?
Pretty much. So it's a lot like every other day, but this is...
Plus throwing up.
Yeah, plus puking. This is a sad conversation.
Well, we're glad you feel better.
Thanks, Bean.
Welcome back. Got a story to get us started here. I always am fascinated with the things that people choose to steal, especially when it's something that can't be fenced. Like if you steal, you know, like a few years ago, some guys broke into that museum in, I want to say, Norway? And stole the Scream. Remember when they stole one of the most famous paintings in the world? Like, what do you do with that?
Right.
When you have the Scream, what do you do with it? You can't sell it.
Yeah. You just pretend you got it at Bed Bath & Beyond?
Sure.
Do you just put it up on the wall in your house and just sit there and go, yep, I sure have the Scream.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what the advantage is of that. And this isn't quite to that level, but here's a guy who was arrested. He was a former security worker for Brinks. They're the people who do the armored cars, and they store money for people, too. And his name is Stephen Dennis, 49 years old. He was working in Birmingham, Alabama at the Brinks location there. And just before he left the job in 2014, he decided he was going to rob the place. And he did the thing that you see in movies all the time where they take out, say, the money or the gold or whatever it is out of the bags and replaces it with something else so that you think those bags are still full of mm-hmm. stuff, but they're not. So he did that. He stole quarters, $196,000 worth of quarters. And he did the thing where he took out most of the quarters and then just put beads in the containers of the quarters and then left quarters on the top. So it looked like there were full bags. So when they come around and they count up all the quarters, they go, well, they're all here. So
seems like it would be a lot easier to steal bills.
Yeah.
Well, quarters.
I don't know. I don't know what he had access to. Maybe he worked in the quarters department. I don't know.
Is there a quarters department?
I don't know. I don't know anything about how banks work. But I guess the reason I was fascinated by this story is, okay, you do it and you get away with it. Now you're at home with $196,000 worth of quarters. What do you do?
You go down to the Vons where they have a little machine and you start pouring them in.
How many
can you get away with at the Coinstar before it starts to raise a little bit of suspicion?
I don't know.
That's what I'm wondering is, do you have to go all over town?
Yeah, you've got to spread it out maybe a few states.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
All right. Got to drive to Idaho today. I got to turn in $10 worth of coins.
This is a bad plan from the beginning to the end.
I mean, you can't go to a bank and cash them in. You can't – like, what do you do? It just seems like – look, it's money, and I guess it's great if you want to go to Subway that day. You could go, well, I can rustle up $7 worth of quarters. I mean, I guess you've got petty cash at the house.
Sure.
But you can't buy a house. You can't buy a car. You can't do anything.
Maybe
with
there's
that
a
kind
candy
of
machine at work, and he just wants to be prepared for the rest of his life.
$196,000. U.S. Attorney Joyce White Vance said the defendant may have thought he had quite a haul when he took nearly $200,000 in quarters from the Federal Reserve's corn storage at Brinks, but now he carries a heavier load, is what she said. Special Agent from the FBI, Roger Stanton, said what Mr. Dennis may have thought was a nickel and dime theft was, in the end, the equivalent of a major bank heist. Now he will be a convicted felon who must repay all the stolen money. So, I mean, I guess the thinking was, hey, money is money.
Right.
But it's not the most practical theft I've ever heard of.
Quarters aren't good money.
Yeah. I mean, they're fine.
It's unwieldy.
It's unwieldy. Exactly.
It is unwieldy, Kevin.
Quarters. How do you move that? That's a terrible plan.
I think it is a terrible plan as well. But I would like to be very impressed right now that Kevin came up with the word unwieldy.
Very impressive.
By the way. Does not sound like the kind of word he normally would use. So, well done.
How dare you. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
Suffice it to say, there's not a lot of love for you in the room at the moment. The vote is currently 2-1 to fire you for cause.
Wow.
Wait, me?
Sure.
Sounded like you're talking to Kevin.
But if you're going to jump right in there, I'll let you.
Real paranoid.
In studio today, we have the host of Survivor, Jeff Probst.
Love Jeff. Great guy.
This is the, 28th?
Yeah, like 74th.
Season, I want to say, or something like that. It's crazy. He's going to be in studio today. Very excited about that. We have our opening act we're going to tell you about. We have some audio coming in, some people submitting themselves to be the opening act for April Foolishness.
Submitting themselves?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're also going to talk to people who received a message from the other side. Now, you weren't here yesterday, Allie, but people that were golfing in Palm Springs, after it rained, they saw
the rainbow.
Right? Yeah. And Nancy Reagan's Secret Service nickname was
Rainbow.
Rainbow.
Aw.
So we're going to talk to people who've received messages from the other side.
And so I those golfers received a message from Nancy?
Uh-huh. Strange, but yes.
Interesting.
Which side are you on there, Allie?
I absolutely believe you receive messages.
That's what I thought.
I know you're shocked.
This is going to be good. That's what I was hoping. So we'll talk about that today. We also have a recap of The People versus O.J. Simpson. And I don't know if you're watching that. That, to me, is the best show on TV right now.
Yeah, a lot of Emmys are going to be handed out for that show, for sure.
Oh, my God. Marsha Clark.
If Sarah Paulson doesn't win the Emmy, then we are burning this mother down. Right?
Oh, I will riot.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
What about Ralph Garman and our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning? What about that?
What about him? Where
Let's
is
do that?
He? Get him in here.
That's you, Ralph.
What?
You're that guy.
Sometimes I forget. Especially after this much cough syrup.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Are you on the cough syrup?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry.
Can I just, what about you?
Since you brought it up, I finally went to the doctor yesterday. Like everyone in the whole world, I've had whatever it is that's going around, and it's been 8 weeks for me. 8 weeks of,
Wait, I'm sorry, the healthiest man alive?
Yes, 8 weeks I've had it since I was in London.
Well, and, maybe I should go to a doctor after 2 months of illness.
Yes, so I went to the doctor because I've been, you know, coughing up a lung every single day. And, you know, the sore throat that comes and goes, it'll be a little bit better and then it'll get worse and then it'll be terrible and then it'll get a little bit better. So every time it goes away, I think, oh, I beat it now. Now it's done. So my wife finally says, by the way, she called me from Europe.
Your wife called.
She called me. Yeah. So I actually got to talk to her one time.
You guys still talk after all.
We are still in touch.
Well, what's going on?
The whole breakup and everything and her moving out.
It's conscious uncoupling.
That's really
nice. We hope to stay friends in the future. But anyway, so she called me and she said, seriously, go to the doctor. Maybe you need like an antibiotic or something to end this once and for all. So I went to the doctor, did the whole checkup and the test and everything. He says, you've got the walking pneumonia.
And the boogie-woogie flu.
Wow. I said that to him, and he looked at me, and I realized he's way too young to have any idea what that reference is. He just looked at me like I was a moron. Yeah. But anyway, so he gave me an antibiotic. So now I got an antibiotic, and it's just a six-dose Z-Pack, I guess they call it, and I'm supposed to take that, and it's apparently that's going to do the trick, and I'm going to be in the pink again.
Sure.
So I'm just when you said cough syrup, I thought, oh, I got to tell the guys. They then gave me cough syrup with codeine in it, which is a whole new experience, and I love it.
Sweet.
I mean, I love NyQuil.
We've lost Bean to Scissor.
I love NyQuil anyway.
I love grape soda.
Now that I've had cough syrup with codeine in it, though, I may never go back to that weak sauce NyQuil.
Yeah, that's the good stuff.
Oh, my God. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So I may take some during this morning show, too. So if I get a little loopy, you'll know why.
This may be a clue into the true Bean Baxter. When he said all the time how much he loved the taste of NyQuil.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't love the taste of NyQuil. He loves getting loaded.
Good point. Good point.
Well, he's found codeine, whatever, with that NyQuil. It's not about the taste. It's about getting just goofy.
Well, they do all... They do all taste good too, but anyway. So when you said cough syrup, that made me think I have some downstairs, and I need to go get some immediately. So you do whatever it is you're doing.
That's a good sign. We start jonesing for the codeine
after one day.
They recommend that.
You get hooked up quick.
I am the white little Wayne.
That's what we've always said.
That is what we've always said.
Well, that was your Bean Health Update. Today's celebrity birthdays.
What's going on in showbiz, Ralph?
No, it's a new segment, Kevin. Apparently, it's a brand new segment.
I'd rather
the
have
Bean Health Update.
We have some time for a couple of
Dr.
stories.
Dr. Bean. yesterday, we were talking about that charlatan, Tyler Henry from E! The Hollywood Medium. That con man.
Why were you doing that?
Because he's a charlatan and a con man.
He's a fraud.
Oh, he's a cute little guy.
He's a cute little guy. I can see that, but he's still a complete fraud.
Oh, I don't know. My friend Monica Potter.
We talked about her episode yesterday. You weren't here, but we talked about it. I happened to catch it the other day. It was,
right?
It was complete shenanigans.
No, it wasn't.
Complete shenanigans.
This one right here believes 100%.
Oh, I can tell. I can see that.
Yep.
I can see that Trump supporter look in her eyes. But she's completely drank the Kool-Aid.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Anyway, Amber Rose. You know Amber Rose.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
She's got a new man in her life named Terrence Ross. He is a sometime model and player for the Toronto Raptors. And they've been hanging out, and apparently they are very much in love. Well, Us Weekly is saying that their romance may have been predestined because this Tyler Henry clown from Hollywood Medium met with Amber Rose, gave her a reading, and said, I predict you'll meet someone with a T in your name. With a T in their name. There will be a T.
That was the prediction?
And there was one.
And his name is Terrence Ross. Yeah.
Wow, he's good. Right? Is that what we're saying?
I don't think we're saying that at all.
If the average person's name, let's say, is 12 letters long, maybe if you include the middle name, 18
I'd like to
see
20. The statistics on how many names.
And there are 26 letters in the alphabet? Right.
Well,
what do you think the odds are of having a T fall in there somewhere?
Ralph Garman, Allie McKay, Kevin Ryder.
Nope.
What's your middle name?
No.
Your middle name is no?
No, we don't have a middle name?
Allie No McKay.
No.
That's weird.
What's your middle name, Kevin?
Mark.
Mark.
What's yours?
Joseph.
No T.
Wow.
Bean? Burn.
I guess Amber Rose is dating me then, it sounds like.
Right. What about Bean Titillation Baxter?
Right.
That's why a lot I didn't of say his name.
A lot of teas.
That's why I didn't bring
See?
Him up.
But you're like a con man. You're like Tyler Henry. You just go away from the facts and just keep steering the mark towards where you want them to be.
Yep.
That's bullshit.
You're probably working with him. You're probably his confidant.
I think Ralph's point is there are billions of people.
Confidant.
Why do you have to say it like that?
Because it's cool.
It's not cool.
There are billions of people with T's in their name, I think, is Ralph's point.
That's right. My point.
You're not telling anybody anything.
But not in this room, says the confidant.
Right.
Stop saying it.
Confidant.
What's up
can
with...
We get, can we get Monica on, Allie? Would you make that happen?
I'd love to do that, yes. But
Ralph, you
guys
saw the episode.
Cannot,
I did see the episode, yeah.
You cannot berate her for something she believes.
She went... The guy goes into...
Have you met us?
Yes, that's why I want to protect her.
The guy goes into a child's bedroom and says, "Oh, this closet was a source of fear and anxiety for a little kid."
But,
oh my goodness! Yeah, because no kid ever thinks that there's monsters in a closet.
He didn't know that was a child's bedroom.
Oh,
that was their old house, and there was no furniture, no nothing in
it. But he knew that's where the girl slept. The girl said, "We slept in this room."
They did say that.
They did
Is
say
anybody
that.
Buying this polished turd?
And they go down the basement, and there's a staircase, and there's 1 foot to the left of the staircase, and to the right there's 8 feet of space. And they know the dad was an inventor. He goes, "I sense a workbench over here. Was this a work area, perhaps, where he did some work?" There's like a hot water heater and a bit of stairs. The only place in the room where there could have been any sort of workbench was there.
So you said the same thing?
And there was. Exactly.
That's crazy.
So, yeah,
so,
he was right.
Shenanigans.
Yeah, I'm not going to call Monica.
You don't think he worked? Call her. You don't think he worked under the stairs, Tyler? You don't think he was a tiny little dwarfing man who worked with thimbles underneath the stairs? No, it's the only place he could have worked. Shenanigans, I'm calling it.
Allie, we'll be good for the first 2 minutes. Is that good? Come on.
She is
Did Monica
sweet, sweet
believe
woman.
Because we've had her on the show before as a guest. We're fans of hers. We like her. We'll be nice to her, but she's an idiot.
Oh, okay. Ralph just spit ticked.
Right?
So,
so make the call.
No.
Why? I don't understand after that.
I barely got that one down. That's what she said.
She believed because she wanted to believe.
And
not
what's
because
wrong with that?
Well, she's being taken advantage of.
She's being hoodwinked.
I don't know.
She's being made
a
fool.
If you want to believe in something and it gives you comfort and it gives you strength,
right.
Because a lot of it had to do with her dad that passed.
But wasn't
if that gives you that?
Weren't they trying to get some help so they could factor in whether or not to sell the family home? Wasn't that part of
it? Oh no, they're redoing the house. That's
their
house.
Redoing
yeah.
It. Oh.
Stop it.
No.
Seems like what did they need his help for? Then they're redoing the house, decorating tips.
She's a whore.
No.
I don't think that's the
nowhere
case
to hang
at all.
The pictures, Ralph. That's where he comes
I'm
in.
Sensing a picture. I'm sensing an oil painting should be on this wall. I think something in a mahogany frame. Oh, no, wait. The spirits say no. Oak. I'm getting a strong oak vibe. Bite me, Tyler Henry.
I wonder why he won't come on.
Well, because we'll tear back the curtain of fraud. And unveil him for the deceitful charlatan that he is.
Other than that, he's a fraud. You know that.
Curtain of fraud. All right, let's get to celebrity birthdays. Something you can believe in. These are real.
Most of the time.
A gentleman named Shannon Leto.
Oh.
He's the drummer for 30 Seconds to Mars. He's 46 years old today. I know, he got that gig.
Hmm.
Oscar Isaac. Oh, Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
Poe Dameron, of course.
Yeah.
37 years old today.
Pretty dreamy.
Don't make that gesture ever again,
Sorry.
Allie. Newfound Glory's guitarist Chad Gilbert is 35. Clint Dempsey, of course, cowboy actor Clint Dempsey.
He's a soccer player.
What?
Yeah.
Who keeps giving me soccer player names on my birthday list?
He played in the Premier League. He's a big U.S. soccer. He's a captain of the U.S. team for a while.
Soccer report? It's
well,
a celebrity birthday.
He's a celebrity.
Why would Clint Dempsey's name be on my list?
He's totally a celebrity.
Nope.
He sounds like a kicker for the Packers in the 50s. Now coming on the field, Clint Dempsey.
Right, but he was
trying to make the 35-yard field goal. He hopes to set a record. And actress Brittany Snow is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We want you to be the opening act for Kevin DeBean's April Foolishness 2016, which, as you know, is coming up fast on April the 2nd at the Shrine Auditorium. Some seats are still available if you'd like to buy tickets to join us, but why not perform on the show? Go to Carrick.com for all the details. We're just asking you to upload a two-minute video of your comedy act. And next hour, by the way, we're going to have in last year's winner. That was the first year we did the opening act contest. And Eddie Pence was the young man, very funny comedian, who won and killed it. I mean,
he was great.
Probably still the biggest stage he's ever played, I imagine. We'll ask him how it's been going since then. But, yeah, I mean, it was I was very encouraged by the quality of the talent out there of people who are looking to be on the stage at the Shrine with us.
How could this year not be worse, though? That's my question.
Well, that's a good point, because we got lucky last year with Eddie.
So I'm trying to sell it, Ali.
Go to Carrick.com for all details if you think you've got what it takes. There is a guy who I wasn't that familiar with, although I've seen his videos from time to time. His name is Mark Dice, and he is an author. And, Kevin, actually, you would like this guy because he's very much a conspiracy theorist.
All right.
He's written all sorts of books about the Illuminati and about the New World Order. He believes 9/11 was an inside job. He's that guy. And I don't know what his motivation is unless he's trying to make some point about liberal teaching in schools. But he has a series of videos where he goes out on the street and he asks average Americans questions that you might think they should know the answer to.
Okay.
He's in San Diego this past week, and here's how that went.
Who is our nation's capital named after?
Oh, my God. Okay. See, why are you going to ask me something? Can I Google it?
Nope. Got it. It should be in your memory.
No,
our nation's capital named after who?
Okay, who's the name? What's our name? Why are you leaving me? You're supposed to be helping me.
Over you, just you.
Oh, my God. Okay, the nation's capital. The nation's capital. Okay, then you know. Okay, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I give up. I plead the fifth.
Okay, you may not be in
court.
Can
you plead the fifth?
I don't
you,
think
you may not be under oath.
Did her friend run?
Yes, her friend ran.
I love that so much.
Her friend was not there to back her up on that. So that's the question that he's asking on the street. And by the way, multiple people, I'm only going to play a couple of these clips, but multiple people, their first response was, I can Google that, or can I Google that?
Right.
And I'm wondering.
That's what you do in place of memorization.
Mm-hmm. And I was starting to think, do you think, and I'm being completely serious now, do you think that the last 20 years of having Google, or 15, however many it's been, of having Google available, has made the human mind not even bother to memorize?
Totally.
Almost anything anymore.
Totally, because if
not
you're.
Not even a question.
If you're any good at searching, you can find that information in 15 seconds.
Yeah.
So why learn it?
It's at your fingertips, so why ever remember anything?
That's my motto.
I mean, it's kind of like, who needs to do math when we all have a calculator in our phone? Like, there was a time where everybody knew how to do division and multiplication, but now you just hit a couple of buttons and it's done for you, so there's no need to learn that, right?
Well, I support that with math.
You do,
yeah.
All right?
Because math,
math is the worst. Mm-hmm.
Hear the next next person on the street.
Who is our nation's capital named after?
Our nation's capital?
Who is it named after?
I have no idea.
You have to tell us.
The capital of America. It's named after a certain person.
I have no idea.
Does this surprise you, by the way?
No.
Nation's capital, is that a tough question?
No. But it doesn't.
These are Americans who live in the United States of America.
Well, I mean, not really. I think that's pretty average.
Yeah, it's par for the course.
All right.
I hate to tell you this, Bean, but I think a lot more people are like me than like you. I don't say that with pride.
This next person on the street actually did come up with the answer, she thinks.
George Washington?
Are you sure?
No, I don't really care.
It doesn't matter about these things, right?
Right.
So you're not really sure who it's named after?
No.
No.
Google it.
You can Google it. Well, that is
there
true.
There you go.
All right. Now, let me ask you guys this question. And this may surprise you, Kevin, that I'm going to ask this question. But things change and people change. And the older I get, the more I wonder if it does matter whether somebody knows who Washington, D.C. was named after. There would have been a time where I would have thought, well, that person's dumb. But now I think, who needs that information?
And if you do need that information, let's say you're going to go into politics or whatever, you'll learn it.
Yeah, you'll know it.
I mean, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with saying that out loud because I feel like it is basic knowledge that Americans should have. But then on the other hand, I think, why would anyone ever need to know that unless you're walking down the sidewalk on the beach in San Diego and Mark Dice comes up with you to a microphone? There's never going to be a time in your life where you're going to have to come up with facts about George Washington. So maybe it's not that
George important. Washington?
that is the correct answer, Kevin.
So, I mean, is it possible that all of this – look, I understand why they teach people these – this should be taught in school. How old do you think you are when they teach you about George Washington? You're like – I don't know. You're probably
school.
In fourth grade or something, I would imagine.
Fourth, right. Fifth, yeah, something like that.
And I am in no way suggesting that information shouldn't be taught. I think everybody should at some point in their life be taught the basic history of America and how our government works. And how voting works and stuff like that. But once you get out into the world as an adult, I wonder if how much of that matters. I mean, I'm thinking about these people and it doesn't seem to bother them that they don't know who George Washington is. And I'm wondering if maybe they're right, like they're wasting time thinking about George Washington.
How many times have you guys asked me the question, an answer to a question, and I didn't know and I don't care? And that frustrates the hell out of you.
Yeah.
I think I may be coming around to your way of thinking.
That's
here,
what
Kevin.
I say.
Our friend Jeff Probst, by the way, the host of Survivor, joins us later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. That's going to be great. And also, Ralph is giving away more tickets for that Paley Fest, this time for Scream Queen. So if you're a fan of that show, stick around. I love Wednesday mornings on the Kevin and Bean Show because we get a chance to talk to O.J. about O.J. This People versus O.J. Simpson. I know you said it earlier, Kevin. It may be the most captivating thing on television right now.
It's so great. Aren't you glad you get to see it, O.J.?
Now, you know that I can't see this show. Why is the phone ringing when I'm already talking?
Well, Kevin kind of surprised me by bringing you up. I didn't think we'd had you yet.
The phone ring. It's all right if the phone doesn't ring once. Why do you need help?
It's a habit. I'm sorry,
but
O.J.
I started talking. You said, all right, well, that boat has sailed. No need to ring the phone.
Okay,
instead
why are you
in the middle of my conversation make me sound like a total idiot?
Look, you're in jail, and you're criticizing me the way I do a radio show.
I have a lot of time on my hands and a lot of ability to think about stuff, and I think you're dumb.
So there is – you do get to watch some TV there at Lovelock.
Yeah, but only the networks.
Only the networks.
We don't have basic cable here in Lovelock, so I have not seen the FX program that you all seem so fond of because, frankly, I can't watch it, and I don't know if I would if I could because – Cuba Gooding Jr. got a tiny little head.
Well, you have a huge head, too, by the way.
I have a big head. Yeah. And I'm proud of that. And I'm just being a nice guy, whatever that means.
Right. You're the juice, right? Well, it was a great episode last night, I thought.
Okay.
Last night was called Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. And it was all about Marsha Clark.
And the Brady Bunch? No, I love that. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
That's the reference. But
Jan got a knife and killed that guy. What? Oh, that was me. Sorry.
So she's getting a lot. We're to the point now where they're in the trial, and she's getting all kinds of negative comments about her clothes, her hair. She looks terrible, and her boss is sympathizing with her.
Listen, the stuff in the media about your appearance, I'm sorry. It's awful. It's inappropriate. It's sexist. It's horrifying. And Suki and I we're appalled when it comes on TV.
It doesn't make things easier.
I'm sure. Having said that, you know, I can put you together with a couple of terrific media consultants.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
So they give her an afro.
Not an afro.
They gave her an afro, Deuce.
They didn't give her.
It was an afro.
You don't know afro.
Did you
I
see
know
it
afro.
Or did I see it?
I know what Marsha Clark looked like.
Yeah, he was there for that.
Oh, that's
you,
right.
Lady.
Uh-huh.
You're welcome, O.J. Okay.
Are you blind, by the way?
I am.
I got a weak spot.
I heard.
I know what Marsha Clark looked like. Was not an afro.
Okay.
It was Jerry Curl, if it was anything.
Oh, it's Jerry Curl. It made her very upset, though. She was very upset because she's not used to being in the spotlight.
Right.
And that's what a lot of last night's episode was about. Now, Johnny Cochran forced in the housekeeper for that person that lived next door to you, OJ, and he needed.
Don't call them a neighbor.
A neighbor, right. But he was the housekeeper for the neighbor.
And OJ's doing a lot of sharpshooting on his show today, isn't he?
Man, I thought you live on the outside, you'd be better than this.
He wanted to get her on the stand so that he could find out the information that she knew, and Marsha Clark pretty much destroyed her in Cross.
In your first statements, you saw the Bronco at 10 p.m., but now you say it's 10:15. So which is it? Did you see the Bronco at 10 or 10:15?
Does it matter?
Yes, it matters very much.
Whatever Mr. Yanni says, I said.
Whatever Mr. Yanni says.
Well, that sounds like
I didn't know Yanni was in this case. I thought he was just making easy to listen to music.
No, she meant Johnny. She's calling Johnny Cochran your attorney.
Was it Yanni or Johnny? Which one was it?
Well, she said Yanni, but I think
it makes a difference.
She meant Johnny.
That was her accent, is all it was, Juice. That's all.
Charge dismissed. Okay.
All right. All right, now last night, this is the very first time that you, O.J. Simpson, changed your tone from, oh, I'm going to kill myself, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, to being really frustrated with people. And you started throwing your weight around when Johnny Cochran apologized for how that went.
Now, I know Lopez didn't go as planned, but we couldn't risk...
Didn't go as planned. O.J., these things happen.
Don't give me that it happens routine, Bob. On the football field... In life, in my businesses, when I see an absence of performance, I deal with it. I deal with it harshly and directly. You know why? Because I'm for real. Hear me? I'm the juice.
Wow.
I am the juice. You got that part right.
Right. All right. So then, Chris Darden is walking into court, and he's talking to a columnist who is writing great things about your defense attorneys that are black, but not anything good about him being on the prosecution team, and he's black.
You don't think a black prosecutor contributes to the black community?
How? By helping the racist LAPD enslave a strong black brother up from the ghetto? Symbol of success, superstar athlete, entrepreneur?
Who spends his days playing golf with old white men and his nights sleeping with young white girls. I mean, OJ's a symbol for getting the hell away from other black people as fast as he can.
Yeah. What about that? That's true.
You do that?
Yeah, really I did.
So you're copping to that. That's on you.
But in my defense... Not a lot of black people in Brentwood to hang out with.
Okay. Well, but you moved to Brentwood on purpose. I mean, you were black by convenience, pretty much, right, Juice?
I'm sorry, now what?
I'm saying when it was advantageous for you to play the black card, like in the trial, you were happy to. But when you didn't have to, it seemed like you were all white all the time.
I'm sorry. Can someone put the cross out on his line?
That's Bean, by the way. I just want to make sure that we're clear
on that. I'm making notes for when I get out.
All right. So last night, Mark Furman gets on the stand, and F. Lee Bailey decides that he is going to ask Mark Furman if he ever in his life used the N-word.
In describing people, Detective Furman, do you use the word n-er?
No, sir.
Have you ever used the word n-er in the past 10 years?
Not that I recall.
You mean if you called someone a n***er, you have forgotten it?
I'm not sure I can answer the question the way that you phrased it, sir.
Are you saying under oath that you have not addressed any black person as a n***er or spoken about black people as n***ers in the past 10 years, Detective Furman?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Well, we know F. Lee Bailey used the word.
He's very comfortable with it, isn't he?
He never gets put on the stand.
He used it a lot.
He has no problem with that word. If it is the word I'm thinking of, I couldn't tell. I just heard a beep, but I'm assuming.
It's the N-word.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Furman Mark Furman was the best thing that ever happened to your case, I guess, O.J., when you look back on it in retrospect. I mean, it was the fact that he was the guy who collected a lot of the evidence, and he turns out to be a racist Nazi asshole. That's kind of why you got acquitted, right?
Furman and I, he was great. He's the best thing ever happened to me. You're right. We hang out all the time now. He comes visit me, bakes me cookies.
Wow. He bakes you cookies?
Nope.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54.
It is Wednesday morning. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hey, where's Leather Jackie go? Oh, here he comes, yeah. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show for Wednesday with our friend Ralph Garman. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, this cracks me up. I heard you two guys talking to O.J. Simpson in jail there. Mm-hmm. You know who else is in jail? Is of course, Jared Vogel.
Yeah.
The Subway pitchman. Spokesperson. And there had been a lot of rumors going around that Jared Vogel, while in prison, was... packing the weight back on, that he's a big fatty again. Everybody said, serves him right, ha ha. Well, Jared's very upset and told his attorney to tell everyone that he is not fat.
What?
That's what
very
he's
important
concerned
he
about?
Gets that message out. Yeah, sure, I'm a sex monster. Sure, I'm a pedophile. And I'm an evil bastard, but I'm still in pretty good shape, everyone, so we can all relax.
Are you kidding? You got to protect your reputation, Ralph. Come on.
Jarrett says rumors about him packing on the pounds are false. He's been eating a lot of soups and stews and chicken inside and getting a lot of exercise. So all's well, everyone. Sure, he's a pedophile, but he's not fat. So we got that
wow
piece of comforting news from Jared.
All right, important update.
Hey, what's happening with ABC Family, now called Freeform Cable Channel? Do they broadcast on like an infrared spectrum or something? How are they having so many TV shows out there in the world that I've never heard of or seen?
I don't know.
Are they in the shortwave or something? How are people watching this and knowing about these things?
We do pay pretty close attention to entertainment and TV shows.
Remember Baby Daddy, which now is in like its 47th season or something? We had no idea existed.
Yep.
They just announced Freeform, formerly ABC Family, just announced that they renewed their series Young and Hungry for a fourth season.
Oh, Young and Hungry.
Young and Hungry.
Right.
That's not even a thing. There's no way a show called Young and Hungry was on television for 4 years and we didn't know about it. Are they detectives? He's young. He's hungry. Together, they take a bite out of crime. Who? What? What? What?
Kevin, where is Freeform on the DirecTV?
You're
not
sure about
when it comes to channels.
I used to be. They started changing things up on
me. Oh, those bastards.
Freeform. I don't even know where that would be.
Wherever ABC Family used to be.
In the 370s, I think.
All right, I'm looking for it right now.
Young and Hungry.
Young and Hungry? Season 4.
Maybe they're a dance team. Maybe they're a team of figure skaters competing in the Olympics. And now, on the ice is Young and Hungry, trying to get the triple sow cow. I have no idea what Young and Hungry is, but it's coming back for a fourth year, so there.
It's about a food blogger named Gabby, and she...
Hold on. Hold the phone.
Tell me you looked that up.
And she decides she needs a job, and there's this entrepreneur that's like, I need a chef, and she's like, I'll do it.
You know about this show?
No.
You looked it up.
She didn't look anything up.
No, she just looked in the air and just said those things out of her head.
Really cute. It's a really cute show.
Wow.
You're watching Freeform?
You have way too much time.
I really do.
You need a hobby. You need something. Someone in your life. Anything. Get help.
But at least we have an expert we can go to for all these shows we've never heard of.
Freeform shows.
I mean, it's no Tiny House Nation, but
right, well,
we
what
all
is?
Know that. That's something no one's watching either.
Sad news. A man many called the fifth Beatle has passed away. George Martin, record producer for the Beatles for all those years, has passed away at the age of 90.
He is a dick?
Not a dick at all, Kevin. He was the man who they say took rock and roll by the hand and got it to grow up.
Okay.
Because the Beatles, of course, started off as a traditional rock band, guitar, bass, drums, rhythm guitar. And George Martin, over the course of the Beatles' short recording career, forget, they only recorded for like 9 years, 8 years, something like that, introduced brass, woodwind instruments, string quartets, playing tape backwards, studio tricks that had never been done before. I mean, he really took rock and roll from basically pop music and turned it into an art form along with the Beatles. So
incredibly inventive.
Very inventive. Pretty much a musical genius. The best ears, they say, in the business at one point. And he passed away at the age of 90. So,
but the good news is now he's the third Beatle.
Wow.
Too soon?
A little bit.
Because he was the fifth.
I think too soon and not funny.
Okay, both.
And isn't he not the third Beatle? Or just the two? There are just two Beatles, right?
Right, but he was the fifth Beatle. But now in heaven, he's the third Beatle.
He's the third Beatle to show up.
Right. In heaven.
Right.
All right.
Well crafted.
Take that.
Thank you.
Would you like to take that back right now, so we don't have to put it in the file?
And this is kind of wild.
All right,
remember
file.
The big brouhaha over the fact that Larry Wachowski, one of the directing, at the time, Wachowski brothers, had transitioned into a woman, had become a transgendered woman. And it was a big deal when Larry came out as transgender several years ago. He completed his transition in 2008, and he became Lana Wachowski, and then directed alongside his brother Andy as Lana, and they worked together. And now this week, Andy Wachowski has announced he is transitioning, and he will be now known as Lily Wachowski, and now he, too, will be a transgender woman. So what began as Larry and Andy Wachowski will now be the producing directing team of Lana and Lily Wachowski.
Okay, so when I saw this, I thought, is it Is it possible that this is the first time in history that there have ever been two transgendered people in the same family?
Well, I don't know about history, but certainly I would think brothers.
That's both becoming sisters.
That's probably be a pretty slim number.
I mean, what are the chances of that? That's remarkable.
It is, and they're both very comfortable with themselves and very open about it. So this story really is, I think, only really interesting because of the fact that they are brothers, and it's kind of
very surprising, yeah,
unique in that situation.
Very sad that he had to come out now and say it. Because he wasn't ready and he wasn't going to.
He was being pressured, apparently. Someone had the story in the media.
Oh, really?
Was threatening.
Yeah, somebody from the Daily Mail showed up at his door and said, hey, I'm going to run this story. Want to share some quotes? Just awful.
So it was a matter of timing, but obviously the story eventually would have come out. So he has now transitioned and he is transgender. And having seen Jupiter Ascending, I would say less... transitioning, more directing, I would say. I just, if I had any advice for the Wachowski sisters, it might be...
Not a fan of that movie?
Woo! 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 Oh, I have a case of the vapors.
That's the one that won Eddie Redmayne's Razzie, isn't it?
Yeah, sure did. Well deserved. Today's celebrity birthdays. 60 Seconds to Mars drummer Shannon Leto is 46 years old.
Or 30.
Oh, what did I say, 60? 60. Well... they used to be 60, and they lost half of their members. Did you know that?
I didn't know.
Yeah, they were a much bigger group. And then they cut that number in half, and they became 30 seconds.
Didn't know that part of history of them.
Oscar Isaac is 37 years old today. Chad Gilbert for Old Found Glory. He's the guitarist for that band. He is 35 years old.
I think he's the one that's married to Dave's girlfriend, Haley, from Paramore.
All right. You sure about that?
No.
All right.
Good update.
Thanks for adding. Thanks for adding your facts.
What some of us do.
It's true.
It's true. Okay. Dave says it's true. Okay.
There you go. And actress Brittany Snow is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So Allie was out yesterday. Took a sick day. We're glad you're feeling better. Glad you're back, Allie.
Thanks.
But
you.
We really needed you for this conversation that we started having. Because in the showbiz beat, Ralph reported that a lot of people felt that the rainbow that appeared in Palm Springs over the weekend was a sign from former First Lady Nancy Reagan, who passed away on Saturday night or early Sunday morning. And people were like, look, it's a sign from Nancy from the other side. And he pointed out that her Secret Service code name when she was First Lady was Rainbow.
Sure.
So clearly a rainbow appears in the sky. The day the lady dies, that's her message to us saying, I made it. I'm here. I'm great. I miss you.
That's lovely.
Yeah, but it's
except that's not what happened. That's not what happened at all.
Is it?
Yeah.
Rainbows happen every day, all the time, always in certain atmospheric conditions. And it was a nice coincidence. Rainbows are pretty. We like to see them. Had nothing to do with Nancy Reagan or anyone else who died.
What if it was a double rainbow? Oh, my God, double rainbow!
So,
but it was one of Reagan's favorite golf courses, Bean.
Well, see? I forgot about that.
And the Reagans did aspect. Live in Palm Springs.
Yeah, they did.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
And her name was Rainbow.
Her name actually wasn't Rainbow. It was
her Secret Service name. Was her code name.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So we suggested...
But it did come out of nowhere. There was no rain before that or anything?
Oh, there actually was.
A lot of rain, a lot of clouds.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Perfect conditions.
All the conditions to create a rainbow every time.
It's just a meteorological
yes, that's
phenomenon.
Right. So we're going to take some phone calls. If you believe you have received a message from someone who has passed, you've heard from somebody on the other side, we want you to call us at 1-800-520-1067. Allie claims, Ralph, and I'm glad you're in here for this.
Me too.
That she received a message from which relative, Allie?
My Nana.
Okay. Oh, you know Nana. You didn't, right?
No, I definitely did.
I don't think that's the starting point, Dean.
Except for the point
this
that whatever you're about
break
to say.
Just admit that you didn't.
Whatever you're about to say, lives. Though, had nothing to do
all
with Getty. You
so
know that, right?
Tell us the story about Getty, as Dean says.
That was her Secret Service code name, wasn't it,
you
Daddy?
Are all some of the worst human beings ever.
Wasn't Nana's code name Daddy?
No, it wasn't.
After she passed, it was, though.
So, my grandmother had been sick. She had Alzheimer's. We knew it was just a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving to work, and I lived in Park City at the time. And at 5:04, as I was driving, the lights in my car dim down, which is not normal. Stop laughing, Ralph. I'm just listening.
You're judging with your
awful judgy face.
I'm just listening.
The lights dim down and my car got really, really cold. And then the lights came back up. I was like, that was weird.
Wait, it got cold in Park City, Utah?
My heat was on in the car. That's why it was so weird. It instantly got cold in my car. At 5:04.
Okay.
So I go through the day.
I get a sense this time's going to be significant.
Thank you for paying attention. I go through my day. Everything's wonderful. I get home, call my parents, and they said, we didn't want to tell you until you were home that Nana passed away today. And I said, at 7:04, which was East Coast time. And my dad said, yeah, why would you? Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
How dare you. Exact time that my Nana passed.
What's the matter with you? Are you crazy or something?
Because you're such a-holes.
Because here's the thing I can imagine. Yeah. This is the reason that the story rings true. Mm-hmm. Is that Allie's driving in her car, and she has a problem with her alternator. And the first thing she thinks to do is, I better mark the time that this problem in my car happened. I better make sure to remember this time forever, because that's what we all do when something goes wrong with our car.
Allie, right when that happened, did you think, hey, somebody that I love died? Or did you just
I thought of my Nana. I did.
You thought
right
of
at that time. Absolutely.
And you marked
the
time.
You believe in a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Because
I thought, you know what? What if she passed?
You spent a lot of time thinking about that.
You're a
don't you?
Horrible human being because it happened and it was wonderful.
If you've gone crazy or something, I mean, if you've gone crazy, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's something I need to know about.
We do.
Okay? I mean, that affects me.
Right?
And a friend of mine, his son passed away in a very tragic accident.
Did your alternator falter then, too?
No. But his son loved butterflies, and we always joked, and we called him the little butterfly boy. Whenever we talk about him, a butterfly.
You crazy bitch! Whore!
All right,
that's
now
a little aggressive.
Much.
I couldn't even look at you.
You couldn't even get through that sentence because it's insane.
It has happened numerous times that you're just like having brunch, you're talking with, and a butterfly will go past.
Right,
and we'll be
because
like, oh
butterflies
my God.
Don't exist anywhere, and so to see one is...
It's crazy,
it's
right?
crazy.
Thank you. I agree.
Here's the thing.
Crazy. Now, insane.
Do you realize that?
I swear
you
to
should
God.
Be medicated. Both of these situations could have been, first of all, avoided with a Sears Die Hard battery. First
correct.
Of all, would have fixed the Nana problem. And then just,
you mean Nana wouldn't have died?
No. Oh. And then just some netting. Just some netting around where you have brunch. I think.
Here's the thing. If it gives me a little bit of comfort to think that they're sending me a message or a sign,
right.
What's wrong with that?
Well, here's the thing, Allie. You immediately... You disenfranchise all the people in the history of mankind who have had loved ones pass, that there are no butterflies and no battery failures and everything else. So if the other side can reach out and touch the ones they love, why isn't this a regular occurrence? Why doesn't everyone get messages from the other
side? Maybe they do. They're just not receptive to it.
Or maybe the person that passed doesn't like them.
I think that's very possible with people in this room. I definitely think that's possible.
I'm over here in heaven partying.
let's talk to Justin real quick before we got a break. 1-800-520-1067. If you're on the crazy train sitting next to Allie McKay, we want to hear from you. You have heard from the other side. Justin, you say this happened to you.
Yeah. Good morning, you guys.
Hi. Morning.
Back in 85, my grandmother had lung cancer and breast cancer. And they offered her an experimental treatment in the Philippines, and they wouldn't allow her to actually get on the plane. They said she wasn't in a good enough condition.
Okay.
So they had to cancel it. Well, she eventually died about 6 months before I was born.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let's get to the part where she talks to you.
Okay.
Kevin has no time for tragedy.
We don't need the full story told
in
real time.
Details may have some bearing,
in real
Kevin.
Time, though, Ralph. I'm saying we don't have that kind of time.
Okay. Come 2011, my mother-in-law was diagnosed with lung cancer, and she eventually died. About a week later, I was using a vending machine and threw some quarters in, and one of the quarters didn't work. And when I looked down to see what quarter it was actually a Philippines coin that had the year 1985.
Oh.
See?
So, and so, you know.
And so it was from a country that your grandmother had never even been to. But it was the same year, Bean.
Right.
Well, the country was the country that
She wanted to go
to try that treatment.
Right.
Right, but she
and Grandma loves Snickers, and he was trying to buy a Snickers at the vending machine.
Justin, did it give you a little peace knowing that someone might be looking out for you?
You know, yeah. Honestly, see? I think it's one of those things that, you know, you see, and you always wonder what's on the other side, and you always wonder if, you know, if they got there okay, and in a way.
And what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that.
Now we know on the other side are vending machines.
Oh, you are the worst. I work with the worst people in the world.
I think I can speak for Ralph and Bean. We all want this to be true.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It'd be great. It just isn't, though.
But see, you're so shut off from it being true, that's why you don't see the signs.
Or you're too open for it to be true that you interpret everything that way.
Right. Let me ask Justin this a question, and I know, and
you're
going to
ask Justin a follow-up?
Yes, I am. And I'm not, and I mean this sincerely. I know that there's no way for you to know this because it's like trying to predict or explain how God works in his mysterious ways. But your grandmother died before you were born. Why do you think she waited 20 years to give you a sign in that vending machine? Like, how does that make sense to you?
You know what? To be honest, I don't know. I can't explain that kind of thing, to be honest. You know, you never believed in all the ghosts and everything. I never really believed all that kind of stuff. And
until the vending machine.
The vending machine.
The vending machine, yeah.
It's just a mystery of coinage.
We appreciate you very much listening and calling, Justin. You're a brave man to take us on. Thank you so much. Now, you hear how crazy he sounded, Allie,
no,
right? That's how crazy
didn't.
You
he
sound.
You are such a dick.
Well, here's one thing that we've learned, though, is that we don't believe. And people who do believe could care less that we don't believe.
Absolutely. Right. You want to know why? Because we're better people than you.
1-800-520-106.
I don't think we're trying to be mean to people. I mean, if it makes you feel better, I guess it's okay to believe it, but it's not real. That's all we're saying.
It's
right?
not real to you.
No, so but it's not real. But it's not a thing that happened. It's not a real thing that's happened.
It did happen.
Something is real or not real. It doesn't mean it can be real or not real for some people and not for others.
Right.
Gravity, law of gravity exists. There are things that just are and aren't.
You don't get messages from the other side.
Here's
yes,
my thing.
You
That's
do.
What we're saying. Here's my thing. I don't care if it brings you some comfort. Great. I do care when people start getting charged for this, because then you're just ripping them off because they need some kind of emotional support.
Yeah, nobody charged me for my Nana memory.
All right. So I'm fine with that, but
fine.
It still
well,
didn't happen.
Because
right.
if they did, you should get your money back. All right. Let's talk to Tiffany, line 4, please. She's in Newbury Park. She's up first. 1-800-520-1067. If you're just joining us, the conversation started because a lot of people saw the rainbow in Palm Springs and said that's a message from the other side, from former First Lady Nancy Reagan,
right.
who had passed earlier that day, and her Secret Service code name was Rainbow. So they said, clearly, she's giving us a message from the other side.
Well, when have defense, you though, the rainbow did spell out, just say no. So I thought maybe it actually is a message from her, because she was a big anti-drug
When
activist.
Have you heard from people who have passed? Tiffany, you are up first. Go ahead, please.
I heard from my grandfather. He passed away. I was at work one night, and I worked in retail. So there was my manager and myself who were working the shift and a customer in the store. And he came by, he put his arms on me, kissed me on the forehead, said he loved me, told me to finish my degree, and that he would see me later. And we had a nice little conversation, and when it was over, my manager and the customer looked terrified, and she sent me home. She's like, get out of here. And we had a rule that two people had to be in the store. She didn't care. She was like, get out of here. She didn't want to have anything to do
All
with
right.
me.
Help us visualize what this apparition looked like. Did it look like a ghost you'd see in the movie that looks just like your grandpa but see-through, or did it seem like he was in full human form, or what?
He seemed in full human form, just illuminated around the edges. I don't really know how to describe it because I was still going like, is this really happening to me?
Did they
and
see
the fact
him?
That the people I was with were terrified was confirmation for me that I wasn't hallucinating.
But were they terrified of you, or did
they saw him, Kevin?
We don't
That's
know
what I'm
that,
asking.
Allie. Let's wait for her
she
to
said
answer.
That.
She didn't say that. She said they were terrified. They could have been terrified of her talking to no one in the air. That would have terrified
okay.
me,
see,
too.
I believe Tiffany
because
right
she's
away.
Losing
okay.
her mind,
good,
I would send her home.
A great point.
Tiffany,
did they see this man?
I thought about that, and I asked my manager, I said, did you see that? And she said, go home. And the customer in the store said, I saw him. And I didn't say who it was or anything, and she said him, not gender specific. So I was at that point a little shaky because it's weird. But then I got used to it because he came another time after I had my child and told me that he was well pleased with me. So I've just kind of gotten used to him dropping by.
Did you finish your degree?
Yes, I did.
All right. Good.
Oh, you weren't expecting that, were you, Kevin?
I was going to say, what does Grandpa have to do?
Hey, if dead Grandpa tells you to finish your degree, Kevin, you finish your degree. I knew that much. Even I knew.
Well, he was very adamant that it be on paper and not an MRS degree.
Sure.
Okay, Tiffany, let me ask you this question about him visiting you after the birth of your child. Is it at all possible that you thought, man, I miss my – it's your dad or your grandfather? I'm sorry, it's your grandfather, right?
It's my grandfather.
Okay. Is it possible you thought, man, I'm so sad Grandpa isn't here to see this new little one. I'd give anything if he could. And then your imagination, because you love him and miss him so much, just kind of conjured that up for you so that you felt it was real, but it could have just been in your mind?
I don't think so. I was changing her diaper. I was singing his favorite hymn. Mm-hmm. And it freaked me out. I was scared. Like, okay. I really wish he would stop.
So now you're being terrified by your grandfather.
You're being haunted is what's happening.
Ghost stalker.
All right, Tiffany, that's a great story. I will chew on that for a while. Thank you so much
you
for calling. We appreciate
chew on that.
It. No, I will.
You
I mean, look,
won't.
If there are other witnesses, but then it's all I think in my mind is if ghosts can come back and be seen, why aren't there pictures every single day of ghosts?
They don't because they wouldn't show up in pictures. Come on,
but that's something you're making
vampires.
Up.
Come They're on. Like vampires.
Right.
Don't you know anything?
They can't see their images in mirrors. And when the sun goes down, they show up.
All right. Let's go to Lori Line 3, Daniel. Please. Lori is in Huntington Beach, and she is up next on the Kevin and Beach Show.
Hey, Lori.
Hi. How's it going?
Good, Lori.
Very well. Who visited you?
A father figure of mine. He's a family friend, and he was on a fishing trip in Mexico. He's an avid fisher. And he actually passed away having a heart attack as he was reeling in the blue marlin mm-hmm. that he did catch. And I was told this about 2 hours later, and I was outside in my front yard, obviously freaking out and very upset. And as I get off my phone, I look up to the sky, and there is a ginormous fish in the shape of a cloud. Where did whatever's out there? It was there.
Yep.
I took a picture of it. And
send us the picture.
I have a picture. I'll send it to you.
Send us the picture.
I sent it to his family because I was like, I was in shock, of course, but I saw this and I knew it was real. And I had to keep it because it made me feel good, even though I just got the worst news ever.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay,
it right. gave her comfort
but Lori,
to see a big
hold
marlin
on, hold on. Ladies, that you can go outside any day of any year and you'll see a cloud in the sky that looks like a fish.
There's never a time.
No one has ever looked in the clouds and seen shapes that are recognizable before.
Right
that just
then,
doesn't
when
happen.
When she walked outside, right
when you
then,
need it the most, of course your mind is going to do that for you.
You guys are horrible.
I understand you guys think I'm a little crazy, but it was real, and I have the photo, and it was a sign from him saying, I'm okay, don't worry about me.
I believe
sure
you,
it was.
It's
yes, it
it's
was.
Imagination and coincidence, but God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Lori, for the call. Let me point this out to you guys. You notice anything in common with all of the callers
nope,
today?
Not yet.
Please
not
look
yet.
At the
I
screen.
Do I do not.
And read those names and tell me what they might have in common.
Would you say Christie, some chromosomes are present and others are
Christina,
missing?
Jessica, Dana.
Uh-huh.
Allie,
what do you think? What Schlebby, do you think that Schlebby, line 8 Schlebby. What do you think that's about, Allie? Why do you suppose this appears to be in our small scientific sample here? All women.
Oh, I can answer. I can answer.
I will answer because we are
women
more
are open.
Open
to,
we're more feeling.
With our emotions.
We are.
We're more sensitive, so we
absolutely.
Pick up on these things
absolutely.
Where men are close-minded.
Because
and
no, you're not close-minded. You just
response.
Don't want people to judge you. Like,
being
oh,
crazy?
God, you're nuts. No, you're not nuts. You feel, and you're a beautiful little butterfly.
Okay, but how about gullible and not fact-based?
How
about those
not at all?
To add to the list?
Well, then
right.
you're just saying faith in general.
Let's do one more, and let's
no,
make
but,
it Christina, Ralph, because
general.
I know mm-hmm. I know you love people that come to visit you in your dreams. I know that's your favorite. So let's get at least one of those on. It's going to be Christina from Fontana. She's line 5, please.
All right. Hi, Christina.
Hi. Okay, so my best friend's dad had died, and I had a dream. My friends were going through a lot of financial hardship at the time, so I had this dream that their dad was digging through his closet, and I couldn't talk to him, and I was looking at him, and I'm like, Bob, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? And he has all this, like, financial, like, few financial documents in his hands, and
I looked over his shoulder, and I'm seeing it's like bank statements. And so he looks up at me, and he just gives me this look, and he's like you know what I'm looking for.
Bob's a creeper?
Morning. Oh, yeah, total creeper. So in the morning, I called my friends, and I told them, look, I'm like, I had this dream about your dad. Why don't you go in his closet on the left-hand side and look for some money? So they went in there, and they found a big jar of all these coins, and they turned it in. It was like $800. And I told them, I was like, no, I'm like, there's more money, like something in the 14,000 area. So go look in his other closet by the bathroom. So they ended up doing that till like a little bit later, and they come out with these envelopes, and they're pulling all these the papers out of these envelopes, and all of a sudden there's 14,000 cash in there. And everybody was so excited. It was a really exciting, like, crazy dream, and they're really happy about that.
See?
Nope.
It was the weirdest thing. It was really weird, but it's like he came to me and he just told me, like, there's money there to help my girls, you know? And
he said 14,000.
Christina, why wouldn't their dad go to them and tell them that there's money there?
Oh, Kevin.
You know what? Because he didn't even know when he was alive that it was there, because apparently it was money from
what?
The grandma, and the mom had saved it, but the mom had passed away before.
A lot
so
of
why
did the mom
to
come to you then instead of to her own kids?
Why did no one visit the kids that had the money?
Listen, Christina, you're not helping my cause, is what I'm saying here.
So we're going to put you down as a no as well.
Yeah, you're plain crazy.
It's the most wonderful time of the year as we prepare for a big night of comedy, April 2nd at the Shrine Auditorium. Talking about Kevin Bean's April Foolishness 2016. This is our 8th year in a row, by the way, of doing this show. Great local charities, Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. Great lineup this year. Bob Saget, Eddie Ift, Fluffy himself, Gabriel Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons will be there this year. The wonderful Eliza Schlesinger, Jay Moore, and the musical stylings of Wheeler Walker Jr. And again this year we decided to do Kevin and Bean's opening act contest, which I think is a great idea, by the way. There's so much comedy out there that we don't know about, and what a great opportunity for a young comedian to have a moment in the spotlight, on a stage, in a big room with stars like this. It could really do something for that person's career. Unless you're Eddie Pence, in which case it really doesn't help even a little bit, because Eddie won the contest last year and he joins us in studio with the Kevin Bean Show right now. Hey, Eddie.
This is the first thing I've done since then. That's amazing.
Well, it's great to see you. Refresh my memory. How did it work with you last year? Like, walk me through the steps that you took, the process, how you arrived to the conclusion, hey, I got to apply for this.
I was actually, I thought, when I first heard of the competition, I thought you guys were looking for like real amateur type comedians. And I've been doing it for a while. And then I actually heard my buddy Jeff Keith, you guys were playing people's submissions.
Uh-huh.
And you played Jeff Keith. He's like, oh, well, Jeff's been around. I'll submit too. And so I submitted.
Yeah, we're not against people that are working comedians.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I got that after hearing some other more established comedians mm-hmm. that had submitted. So I was like, oh, I'll submit too. And then, yeah, I got in the top 10. And then I just hit the social media stuff and went nuts.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do this time. Right now, we're still compiling videos. You go to Kevin and Bean page of KRock.com and you upload your 2 minutes of comedy, and then we will narrow it down. We'll get dozens of entries, but we'll narrow it down to 10, and then the listeners will vote on who they like. So what was your background in stand-up before last year when you submitted? You said you've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, I'm in my 18th year of comedy.
Really?
Unbeknownst to everybody.
you've been making a living in comedy for 18 years?
Well, I wouldn't call it a living. I wouldn't call it a living. I've been living.
Okay. All right.
Not a living.
Not a living. Okay. I've been the living.
Living. Okay.
On the outskirts of comedy.
Was the Shrine one of the bigger shows you've done?
I've done shows around 1,000 people before, but I've never done anything on that scale of 6,000 people. I mean, done TV where they told me there was millions of people watching, but I doubt it.
Right. And did it make any difference at all? And I know this is a dangerous question to ask, but did it make any difference at all, at least locally, with the exposure that you got from being
in the middle? Yeah, I got some more spots in town. It helped a little bit getting more spots in town. I got to say hi to Jack Black, which was really cool. Well, it was weird because I live near where he takes his kid to school every day, and I walk my kid to school. They go to different schools because we're in different class structures, and I go to the public school, and he goes to the other one.
Ah.
And every day I was walking by him with my kid, and I always want to say hi, but I'm not that type of guy.
Did you walk that particular route on purpose because Jack Black walks that route?
The first time, no. But then every time after that, I'm like, oh, Jack Black walks this route. I'm walking this route from now on. And then after that, I talked to him that night. And I'm like, hey, I see you every day, but I'm just not the type of guy that says hi or whatever. He's like, oh, say hi to me. And so from now on, now all the time, whenever I pass him, I say hi. So that's the biggest thing
right
that came out.
That's real sad.
It's a love.
I can now say hi to Jack Black and not feel weird
connection
about it.
I think.
All right. I like it.
So, Eddie, help. You're the perfect person to ask this question.
Am
because
I?
You have because you submitted your entry and
yes
figured out a way to win the thing.
Yeah.
And mostly, by the way, that was because we thought your stuff was the funniest. So
oh,
I mean, you earned your way in that way. But what advice would you give people who have never really kind of submitted in this format? Like, how do you pick 2 minutes to
two
put
minutes
on video
is
to
difficult
send? That's tough, right?
Yeah, that is a difficult thing to do. Is a
are we wrong? Are we bad for limiting it to 2 minutes? You understand why we're doing this?
No.
We just don't have 30 minutes to spend with everyone who sends in a tape.
Well, first of all, to get people to submit to a comedy competition, you're going to see a ton of what people call comedy, and it's not. I mean,
right.
And to go through more than 2 minutes of that, you want to murder
yourself.
You want
to take your own life.
Yeah. And then come back
yeah
and haunt people.
Yeah.
I see what you
but
did.
I see what I did there. Yeah. I was listening.
But the other thing is that maybe make it clear so mm-hmm that we could, I swear to God, probably 70% of the people last year that submitted, we couldn't understand. It was terrible.
Well, pay attention to the sound recording.
Yeah, some people just set a recording device up in the back of the room.
It sounds terrible.
The comic
it's
is
difficult
the farthest thing away right from the recording device.
I don't know. It seems like maybe pay attention to that.
Well,
there might
do
have
it
been people who were funny that we just discounted because we couldn't hear it.
If you want to
how
submit
did you mic your set, Eddie?
It was actually from a set that I had done for a local cable station, and I just took 2 minutes from that submission from the cable thing that aired apparently in Ventura, but I have no proof that it ever did. I have no. I got a paycheck, but I have no proof
you're
of it ever.
You're the shakiest
ever
person ever.
All right, so
but I am
minutes
the first time winner of
yeah
the
Can't take
2 minutes
that away.
2 minutes of your comedy. Go to the Kevin and Bean page of krock.com. No matter what level of comedian you are, if you're a guy like Eddie who had already been doing it for a number of years and you just want to look at this as a stepping stone, feel free to do that. If you've never done it on a big stage before, that's fine too. Just upload your tape. And how's it been going for you? I see you're playing at the Improv in April, right?
Yeah, I'm headlining the Improv April 19th. So, you know, it's a ways away, but, you know, get the word out.
All right. April 19th for Eddie Pence at the Improv. It's improv.com.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that you are still around, still in town, still doing comedy.
Yeah.
And we didn't kill your career.
No, you guys, it was actually one of the most amazing shows I've ever done.
We gave it the tiniest little bump.
It gave me just
a little bump.
I could say hi to Jack Black.
And that's it.
That's what's really important in life, the Wizard of Eddie.
Weight in gold.
Well, it's great to see you again, man. Thanks for coming
Thank
in.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53.
Ralph, you're going to be very excited. Jeff Probst is joining us.
You don't have to tell me, son.
You love the season of Survivor, right? Probsty is such
pretty
a
good
great host, too.
I'm sorry?
Yeah,
what was his
him
name?
Mm-hmm. Probsty.
Probsty.
No one
he's
does
such
that
a great host.
No
there are just
does,
a, there are a few guys
that
who are just so great at
can
their job.
Can you just
job
say Jeff?
Yeah, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but don't, I mean, just say Jeff.
Probsty.
We'll
don't get
we'll
creepy
talk Survivor right coming up after 8. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
I think so far, and it's hard to say, what's it, is this the 32nd season of Survivor? 32nd
something
season?
Something like that, yeah.
So far, and my wife and I are diehard Survivor fans. This may be, like, early on, my favorite season.
What?
Yeah, because usually Survivor takes a couple weeks to sort of ramp up. You kind of get to know the players, and then you pick your favorites, and then the drama gets hot and heavy. This thing, boom, out the gate, just came nuts. And creatures crawling in people's ears and eating oh their brains and backstabbing and blindsiding. It's just full bore Survivor just from the minute well, they cross the starting line. So,
well, one of the things we'll talk to Jeff about, I mean, as the show goes on, you know, these people grew up with Survivor. They all know how to play the game.
No, they
by
don't
by the time they get to it.
No,
they
but think they
every
do
one of them is convinced they're the best
yeah
player ever.
They show up and say, okay, this is how it always happens.
Yep.
This guy does this, so I'm going to do that. Boom! fire represents your life on this island, and the tribe has spoken. And that's boom. They're gone. So I'd love to see. Those are my favorite ones. The big players, the egos who show up on the island.
The know-it-alls.
They're good. They're already picking out who they're taking to the final two, and then they go home early. That's always a laugh. All right, let's talk about show business. Good news amidst all the bad. Sharknado 4. Sharknado 4, people. You heard
okay
me. The cast.
Yeah!
This cast has been revealed. We now know it's going to star in Sharknado 4.
Now, this is the one with Tara Reid and... What's his face?
Are you
right?
Okay?
I'm having trouble. I'm in my mind. I'm confusing Sharktopus with Sharknado.
Well, there was only one Sharktopus, and Sharknado is the one we talked to Ian Ziering times about.
Ian Ziering and Tara Reid. That's their show, right?
He might have died not coming up with that name, Ralph.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Come on.
I don't know what I was thinking. Anyway, they're back.
They're back.
Because the first one was Sharknado, mm-hmm. right? And then Sharknado 2 came along,
mm-hmm.
and that was... That was the East Coast? It was West Coast was the first one.
That's right. I think the second
one was
New
York.
New York,
right?
I think it was New York.
Yeah, it was New York, and then the last one was D.C.
Then Sharknado 3, oh hell no,
was
D.C. Right.
Yeah.
And now Sharknado 4. No word exactly on where this one will take place.
Space. It's got to, right?
You would think so. The good news is David Hasselhoff is returning to the franchise. He's coming back.
Fantastic.
But now they've got some new actors added as well. Cheryl Teagues. Cheryl Teagues has joined the cast.
Okay.
So she can fat shame the sharks.
I was going to say, I hope there's no fat sharks.
Oh, no. Dr. Oz says sharks should have a 32-inch waist or whatever madness she said. And the reason I'm excited, the real reason, I've buried the lead, quite frankly, because I wanted to
Sister
surprise you.
Sister Sledge. Yeah.
Sister Sledge is not showing up in
Charlie Manson.
Manson was originally booked and then had to cancel. He had a scheduling problem. I think he's doing Broadway.
Let's hear it for old Today Jackson Jr.
It's not even a person.
Biggie Smalls is the illest.
Aww, he is, but he's not in this show.
Okay.
Paul?
Turn Ferguson?
No. Do you want to hear who's in it?
Misha Cuphead Tang!
Cupcake did not make it.
She changed her nickname to Cupcake. Back to you.
Gary
Busey!
Mother-loving Busey.
Yes!
He plays a scientist at the forefront of advances in the field of robotics.
Obviously.
And also plays Terror... Tara Reid's father.
Oh.
That's fantastic.
Is this being directed and written by the same guy?
I don't know.
That's all I care about.
I don't know. Are these things really even written and directed?
I mean...
Or do they just show up and turn a camera on? I mean, I can't be sure.
They escape, really.
Can't wait.
Now, April Wexler, remember, she was part of that April Lives or April Dies social campaign.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, at the end of three, they left it up to the audience to whether April, Tara Reid's character, lived or died. And I believe she is coming back. I hope her father, Gary Busey, puts her brain inside of a robot. That's what I'm hoping. But what do I know? So anyway, there's your exciting news.
All right.
Hey, I always talk about the fact that the Paley Fest is one of my favorite things in the world. If you're not familiar with it, the Paley Center for Media, formerly known as the Museum of Television and Radio, they put together a festival of television each and every year. This year, it's from March 11th through the 20th, and what it amounts to is a series of evenings with the casts and creative teams behind your favorite TV shows. This is, if you're a TV fan, a glorious time of the year. Great lineup this year. They've got nights dedicated to Black-ish, which is a smash hit over there on ABC and a very funny show. Supergirl, which just got its second season renewal. That'll be back. Scandal, Big Bang Theory, Fear of the Walking Dead, American Horror Story. Great lineup this year.
And they get everybody, by the way.
Yeah, they get the entire cast and all the writers and directors and creative teams behind these shows. They all show up and they fill a dais, and there's usually a moderator there who asks them a series of questions. And they usually do have time. When they do have time, they'll open up the Q&A to the audience, so you get a chance to ask your favorite shows about the behind-the-scenes goings-on, if you like. The next one coming up that we have tickets for is March 12th, and it's going to be Scream Queens smash hit show. Over on FX. If you're a Scream Queens fan and you'd like to attend, I've got 4 pairs of tickets right now. Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. And if you'd like to go to any of these events, you should go to paleycenter.org, P-A-L-E-Y, paleycenter.org. And you should sign up and become a member of the organization and also get your tickets for Paley Fest right there. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. 30 Seconds to Mars drummer Shannon Leto celebrates his 46th birthday. Oscar Isaac is 37. Poe Dameron. He's 37. I think it's kind of cool that a guy, really, he's only been on the radar in terms of a movie star the past couple years, right? He did that mm-hmm. that folk singer thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was just a couple years ago. And it's nice to
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina.
Nice to see a guy in his 30s sort of hit his stride at that point instead of coming off of YouTube at 18 or something and being awful.
I agree.
This is a guy who's earned his stripes, and he's very talented.
He's such a great actor.
Great actor.
Allie, what was that miniseries that we watched at the, on HBO that he did?
Oh.
Chumbawamba so Comes Alive.
No.
That was it. Chumbawamba Comes Alive, yeah.
About the housing and the...
Yes,
the,
and he was so brilliant in that.
It
All
won
Those
an
Houses.
Emmy.
It's called All Those Houses?
No, it was so good. What the heck was it called?
The guy's great in everything.
Doors and Windows.
No.
It was called 99 Homes.
And the bitch ain't one.
Come on. Come on, Bean. What is it?
Get off my lawn.
Nope.
No.
I'm not going to
come wrong neighborhood.
Let's just... It was called You're in the Wrong.
It was called Lick My Cul-de-Sac.
Nope.
How about Don't Bring It Up if you don't have the answer?
Real good show, though.
These are all excellent guesses. It's called Show Me a Hero.
Show Me a Hero.
That's not a thing.
And it was about housing?
Yes, it was great.
That's a bad name for a show about housing.
He was a hero.
He was a politician in New Jersey who fought for integrated housing. And I know it sounds like a dry topic. No, but I'm telling you, it was really great, you guys.
Nah, we don't think
it's
so.
It's a long slide
really
for an out.
Newfound Glory's guitarist Chad Gilbert's 35 years old, and actress Brittany Snow turns 30. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our next guest has been kind enough to join us almost every single season since Survivor first premiered back in the 1950s. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the program Emmy Award winner Jeff Probst. Hey, Jeff.
What's up? Finally, I'm back in the studio.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, I know.
Well, usually we talk to you on the phone and you're in Russia or someplace.
Yeah.
I mean, you're all over the place, dude. It's
but, you
tough
know,
to nail you down.
I do like hearing what you said because you're right. I think this is the most consistent show I've done. I've done this show more consistently, whatever the phrase I'm looking for.
How many seasons has it been on?
Well, it's been on 32 seasons, which is 16 years.
16
and Ralph
years.
And I were just talking about when you guys did your show back in season 2.
Mm-hmm. We broadcast from CBS on the morning after the premiere, right? Or
yeah.
the finale.
I think it was the morning of the finale, I think.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think we were promoting the finale that night, and Colby came by. He was one. We knew he was going to be in.
Oh, that's right.
Jeff stopped by. But we were talking about how white hot that show. I mean, it's still a great show, and it's still a hit. But the phenomenon that it was at the time was ridiculous.
Yeah, and we were talking just before we walked in here. I had no idea. I had no perspective. So,
but you mean in season 2 when it was that big, you were like...
Well, yeah, that seems
Whatever.
Like a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's cool. I guess we're number one. And, you know, I didn't – now if that happened, my mind would be blown by that kind of popularity. But I was this guy that was new to the business and thought, it sounds great. Hopefully get another season.
What were the all-time peak in terms of viewership on an episode? It had to be in the 30 millions, right?
Well, the all-time peak would have been the season 1 finale when it was 72 million.
Like,
it's phenomenal.
72 million? Are you kidding me?
And then we premiered, I know that second season premiered after the Super Bowl, and I remember it was like 45 million for the premiere.
Were you disappointed?
And we've been, that's what I was going to say, we've been going steadily down since then.
Now, one of our favorite shows is The Walking Dead, and it's in its heyday. I mean, its biggest, I think it had like 19 or 20 million.
Yeah.
72
million.
Well, it's a
different world.
It's
a different world.
No show will ever get those kind of numbers again because competition is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah. Now, Jeff, we have a lot we want to talk to you about the current season, which has just been, by all accounts, one of the best. But I want to go back to 2000 first, because how did you get the job to be the host of Survivor?
I had moved to L.A. from New York, and I as given the psychic the thing you guys just did, I had that sort of gut feeling of I want something really smart and that I can use my storytelling skills. Otherwise, I just don't want to do it. I don't want to read prompter on a dating show.
Was that gut feeling perhaps a relative that had passed?
Well,
was it my nana?
It might have been like a grandfather who knew me a little better than I knew myself. Or we're related somehow, Allie.
Oh, but no, I need some money, Jeff.
But everybody who moves to L.A. for entertainment reasons wants to be on a smart, fun show. Nobody wants to do a dog job. What was different about you?
Okay, I wonder if that's true, because I see a lot of people taking jobs and they're just happy to have a job, and I really did feel like I have other things I want to do. If I can't find something cool, then I'll do something else. And I waited for a year and a half, and I did say no to a lot of jobs.
You had hosted some other shows before
Right? I'd hosted Rock and Roll Jeopardy, which was super fun.
Awesome.
And I'd worked at FX back when FX was a live network.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And nobody was watching. This was before the Shield.
I remember you doing collectibles and stuff. You used to do a lot of stuff where you would visit people's collections based on some of the shows that FX was running.
Yeah.
It was just Ralph in the basement eating ice cream.
It was. There were not many people watching.
I was there.
Okay, but to your point, I hear you about smart and whatever and entertaining or whatever, but that is honestly how I felt. And I did keep saying no to shows. And I was on the freeway listening to Mark being interviewed. I didn't know who he was.
Mark Burnett, the creator, right.
He said, I have this idea. I'm going to drop 16 people on an island, force them to work together to survive, but then also force them to vote each other out. And in the end, one will win. And I just went for it. I went for it as hard as I've gone for anything. I met with him and we had a long interview that he talked the entire time. And when it was over, he said, well, what do you have to say for yourself? And I'd had all these anecdotes I was ready to share and camping trips. And I remember when I caught this fish, all of it, you know, baloney. And I had like 30 seconds and I said, listen, I'm a student of the human condition. I'm a writer. I've been in therapy. I get this show. And he said, well, very nice to meet you. I was like, really?
You blew it.
I blew it. Yeah, and then and it's a long story.
Did you say, hey, I'd like to come back sometime when I could talk?
Yeah, so I to try to condense it, I went for it hard. I wrote messages in a bottle that I sent to CBS that predicted how successful Survivor would be, and all of it due to the likable but unknown host, Jeff Probst. And then when it came down to the day, it was me and Phil Kogan, who hosts The Amazing Race.
Who's also great.
Wow. Who's also awesome.
You're both great hosts.
I'm kidding. He's great.
And you beat him out.
Well, what happened was Phil and I had worked together in New York at FX. So our first jobs had been together. We walk into the room, and as Mark told us later, when it ended,
you had to fight to the death?
No, it was a challenge. Moonvest said, look, to Mark, whoever you want, I have a job for the other one. I like them both.
Wow. So you could be the host of Amazing Race had it not worked out.
I think I can safely say I would not still be hosting Amazing Race.
Yeah, you got the better gig.
I got the gig.
Yeah.
Wow, well done. And have you enjoyed every season of it, or have there been times where you look at the calendar and you go, oh, my God, I got to go to goddamn Cambodia again. I wish I could get out of this contract.
Is it
something that you're still excited like every time you fly to the new place?
Okay, well, that was two different questions, fortunately. The first one, yes, there was a period where it was hard to leave, and we didn't have the kind of communication we have now, and I did feel like I was missing my life, and I was probably just a punk who somebody needed to kick in the ass and say, listen, you should be super grateful for this show every single day. That's how I feel now. I did weather a little storm for about a year, but yeah, I love it. And I don't like traveling, but I definitely feel this is a
good
glass
thing you
ball.
Didn't take the Amazing Race then, because that would have been terrible.
Yeah.
How long are you gone for? How long do you shoot?
We shoot two seasons back to back.
Oh.
Yeah. So we will leave in late March and shoot all of April and May, come back and do the finale for this season, then go back out and shoot June and July. And then we come home and we edit, and then we do creative, and we cast for the next year, you know, so long as we keep going. So it's a year-round
cycle. And you're the executive producer of the show, so you're always involved in all of it. Yeah.
Right. And I got to say, it is, honestly, it's a blast. It's we're in our 32nd, we're leaving to go shoot seasons 33 and 34. We have almost the same team we've had from the beginning. You know, 80% of our team is the same. It is so much fun to go out and be on a beach and watch these people behave. And I still can't believe we're going into our 17th year. I still can't believe it's my job.
Well, I was saying in the other room, to your credit, to everyone involved, the show, although, you know, obviously anything this famous and this white hot eventually will dim, it's still a huge hit. But creatively, it's still as entertaining and involving and as fascinating to watch as it ever was. And it's amazing how fresh you guys have kept it, and the new challenges that you come up with, and the people that you find. It's relentlessly entertaining.
Well, that is the best compliment we get. That is it, is because we try to tweak the show just enough. You guys know what it is. I mean, your show's been on forever. You
can't, but we haven't tweaked. That's the thing you
have. We do the same damn show every day. It's much easier. It's much easier when you just give up.
But those little tweaks are, I think, what you just said. You want the same thing, only different.
Right.
And our casting director, Lynn Spillman, man, she has upped her game
this
in the last few years.
This season is so good of the cast. Yeah. Oh, my God, it's so good.
And it is like finding a diamond in the rough. You really do go through a lot of people to find the one that you think They're compelling. They've got an Achilles heel somewhere. They can tell a good story. I wouldn't want to see them voted off, and I would like to see them interviewed. All those different qualities that you want in somebody.
Then how did Debbie end up there? That's what I want to know.
Are you kidding?
Hold that thought. Hold that
Debbie
thought,
is Debbie's Hall of Fame.
Debbie's gold.
But you said, I don't want to see her voted off. I want to see her voted off the planet is what I want to say.
Which makes you watch every week.
I want to see her shot out of a cannon into space.
Here's the two phrases we use. Let me restate it because I feel this pace to keep going with you guys. You're so fast.
Sorry.
No. It's good. Okay. I'm slow. Here's what we say. Would I want to interview this person? And would I care if they were voted out? And in the case of Debbie, you may say yes. Okay, you care.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. You have an investment.
Either way. Yeah. Okay. It's going to be a big reaction for sure.
You hate Watch Debbie is what he's saying.
I love Watch Debbie.
I love Watch Debbie. I can't. And did any of you guys pick up on what, if you've been watching, what we do with her occupation?
Yes.
She's a chemist, right?
No, it's different every time Chiron. Oh. Because she has said, oh, I'm a chemist, and I'm also a secret agent, and I climb rock walls for a living.
She's straight
I'm
insane.
I'm also an ornithologist, and I'm a pediatrician surgeon. I mean, every time she says she does something, she's insane.
Yes, but she does all those things, including modeling.
Nope.
Yep.
And and she's a fitness instructor. She's a Renaissance woman, and severely mentally ill. I'm waiting for that media tag to go under her name at some point.
Survivor crazy Brains, person. Brawn and Beauty airs Wednesday nights at 8 on CBS. We have many more questions for our guest. The great Jeff Probst is in studio. We'll return right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Jeff Probst in studio with us now from Survivor on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jeff, we have many questions about the current season, but I have to ask you this. You guys have never done Survivor in a cold weather location.
Right.
Is the reason strictly because people will tune in to see chicks in bikinis? I mean, is that really what the decision is based on? Because there's a lot of drama involved in them trying to survive in a cold weather climate, too, that you guys are missing out on.
Yeah, well, that is an element for sure. But the bigger picture is we've talked about it and we've even looked at places and thought through how it would be. Our gear doesn't function as well in the cold environment. And when you're in a cold environment, you tend to huddle together, you know, like in an igloo. And so part of our show is built on people being able to go out, get away from each other, think, strategize. And so we feel like it would take away a couple of really key elements.
Yeah, it'd be a tough.
Would it be more dangerous if it was too cold?
Good question. I don't know.
What's more likely, hypothermia or heat exhaustion? You know, I guess probably hypothermia would probably be worse. And like you said, less active, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's the active, and you can't – what challenges – you know, how many challenges can you do when you really can't
and
go out
and scenery-wise, too. I mean, you can't beat the locales that you guys find.
Oh, you guys go to the most beautiful places on Earth. Yeah,
Cambodia, where we're at now, stunning. It's beautiful. Just great water.
What has been your favorite of the interactions with the live things in the various locations? Like, there's been a lot of talk about the bug in the ear this year. What have you seen out in the wild that has blown your mind in your Survivor travels?
Well, by far, it was when we were in Kenya, Africa, because CBS, they would never let us do it today, but we were in the middle of a reserve, and it's, you know, I don't know how many miles across and wide, but just of wildlife. And so we had tents. We all lived in tents. Mark Burnett lived in a single-person tent. I lived in a single-person tent. We were all next to each other, and we would unzip our zippers in the morning, you know, your tent zipper, like one click at a time.
In case there was a lion.
Yeah, because, well, you didn't want to scare them off.
Scare them off. See, I'm thinking get
we
eaten.
Weren't thinking that way. No,
well, you're
we
idiots.
Weren't. We were. Allie, we really were not thinking that way. We were just, we'd wake up every morning. We did the same thing in Australia with kangaroo. You'd open your tent and go, oh my God, there were five this morning right in front of my tent. I remember opening my tent to a herd of zebra, and I was sitting there going, that is crazy that there are zebra about 9 feet away from me.
Wow.
And you do get lost in the fact of what you just said, which is, you're in Africa, right, dude. Those are zebras.
Yeah.
You're not watching Animal Planet.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
This is their home.
They would never let us go today. They would say, you're out of your mind. Liabilities. But in terms of just mind-blowing safari every day for 39 days, that was
That's
Africa.
Pretty cool.
Wow.
We have someone who knows you, Jeff, on the line.
God.
He is Scott, and we have to take a call real quick. He is on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. Scott, hi, you're on K-Rock with Jeff Probst.
What's up, you guys? How's it going?
Good.
Good. What's up with you, Scott?
Jeff, it's Scott.
What's up, Scott?
Rockinfield, man, from Queensryche.
Oh, my God. Do you want to know who's...
What
do you guys
happening?
Know who's on the phone right now?
I have no idea.
Can I tell him who this is?
It's Scott, man. What are you talking about?
What's happening?
It's Scott.
Right?
You guys have no idea. I don't know if you know this. Yes. Ages ago, he was like the first singer of Queensryche, man.
Please don't leave.
So, no way, dude. I'm on K-Rock again. I'm stoked.
Did you ever play for the Celtics?
All right. Wait a second. This is somebody you guys know.
Okay.
All right. It is not Scott Rockinfield, the drummer from Queensryche.
Okay.
Who is a good...
dude, I'm from Queensryche.
What's
I think I know who this is.
Who do you think it is?
Is this Grohl?
It is.
State Grohl.
Grohl. So were you on the Celtics? Or?
That guy's lame.
Why are you doing this, Dave? What's going on?
What's going on? What is wrong?
Okay.
Oh, there's going to be a big invoice for this one.
What's wrong with you?
Jeff, what's the Queensryche connection here? Here's the connection. One time I made the mistake of telling Dave, we just met and I was trying to impress him that I knew something about rock. And I said, you know, the drummer from Queensryche was in a band of mine before Queensryche.
He never let you forget it.
Since then, he's like, he'll send me a little video with Queensryche on the radio going, dude, your band's on.
He's doing the right thing.
But did Dave come back in that moment and go, yeah, I was in Nirvana, okay? All right, I win. Yeah, no, that's why I'd already had that lesson. I knew who Dave was. But the other part of the story was we have this ongoing thing of practical jokes, and at one point, Scott Rockinfield from Queensryche really did reach out to me to say hi. I thought it was Grohl messing with me, so I treated Scott as if, yeah, great hearing from you, douchebag. Yeah, really good to talk to you. Turns out, poor Scott, he's just like, I was just saying hi.
He's a collateral damage.
But I gotta say about Grohl, he's been in here.
Yeah, of course, he's our favorite guest of all time.
One of the greatest guys of all time.
Yeah,
he's still on the phone, you guys. You know that, right?
He's lame.
He's lame.
Yeah. I mean, there's part of him that's lame. All right.
Here's the thing is, Grohl's the rock star you want to be friends with because he really won't mess up your hotel room, but he will rock your ass off. He's both that, like, great dad and great rock star at the same time.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
All right, Queensryche.
All right, Scott from Queensryche. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Okay, oh, bye. My God. That's awesome. All right, Jeff, will you stick around for one more?
Because we did.
Obviously, we were derailed there. We didn't get to talk to you about the season.
That was a good derailment, though.
That was wonderful.
Yeah, that was every day.
Dave, yeah.
Super fun. We'll be right back with Jeff Probst after the second round.
That dude from Queensryche sounded high, right?
Yeah,
I think he was. He was a little bit. Yeah.
There's so much more to that story. Yeah.
Here on a Wednesday morning. Hey, why haven't you written a book, Jeff?
Who wants to read a book?
Me.
A lot of people who
books
love Survivor.
I'd say that audience would be about six for
a
book.
Stop.
It sounds good on paper, but then you go, wait, do I really want it? What am I going to read about? What's Probst possibly going to talk about other
because
than
all
his
the
friendship
stories,
with Scott
all the things that you've seen, all the behind-the-scenes stuff that you've
seasons,
seen.
Zebras outside your tent? Come on.
Falling into the fire?
Sure. All right, I'll give it some more
thought.
You're
a damn writer. That's what you do. Who took the fire nap in the first season? Second season?
Michael Scoopin.
Yeah, remember
Tom's
first?
That was brutal. Skin dripping off his fingers.
That looked like a horror movie.
Horrible.
And then this year you had the bug digging into her ear, eating her brain. She could hear it munching on her brains.
Yeah. She did think she was going insane.
Well, you could see in the middle of the night, she's howling at the moon. Everyone else is sleeping. She's holding her head, screaming in pain. It was terrifying.
But tonight
Yeah, you
is
have a big medical
night.
Thing tonight, right?
Tonight. Is
so wait, that wasn't the night?
No.
That a bug was eating through her ear? Tonight's more?
Yeah, tonight. For real, tonight was the most scared I've been on the show. It's just chaotic, and it's a perfect storm of Mother Nature and heat and exhaustion and...
A snake in the butt.
What?
What?
I'm just
no. That's no? not what happens. Oh. LA. I don't believe so.
That is a former snap. Lover.
Oh, who... sorry,
Jeff. Speaking of the book, I bet that there are a lot of conversations that you, as the executive producer, have had with your medical staff where you have to determine how to and when to intervene, right? Because you're responsible for the safety of these people, even though I'm sure they've signed their lives away when they become contestants. You don't want anybody to be seriously ill or worse on your show.
No, and the way that it works is that our medical team can intervene whenever they want, really. They make the call. They know that we don't want them to pull somebody simply because they're uncomfortable. We want them to pull them if they truly think they're in danger. And if that's the case, they pull them instantly. They just say, I gotta yank him, and a needle goes in the arm or oxygen or whatever they need. And it's no questions asked. And we prepare for this all the time. We have an evacuation plan. Our chopper can be up in the air in 7 minutes. Our medical team is on site everywhere with their full kit. We have basically an emergency hospital in the middle of every location we're at. Wow. So we are theoretically more safe there than we are in L.A. And like you'll see tonight, after everything goes down, and ask yourself if that had happened in your backyard in your city, if you could have had a response team on you that fast.
Right.
Right.
Well, we could
all
say no. I mean, I don't think anybody.
But does CBS ever say, imagine a death during sweeps?
Oh, but don't even say that.
Can you imagine tonight on a very special Survivor?
We say goodbye to whatever.
Then you change the name to Survivor? Question mark. And you've got a whole new series.
And on the E! True Hollywood Story, this clip will play.
Yes, it will.
Because what was ironic is only hours earlier they had mocked psychics that there was nobody in the afterlife that could mess with them.
Right.
And here it comes.
I'm sorry, Ellie, go ahead.
I was just going to say, what's the sickest you've ever been? Because you had to get sick at some point.
Sick of the room service at the Four Seasons nearby?
Well, he was at the beginning,
there
living
is
in
no,
tents and
let
whatnot.
Me be perfectly clear, Ralph.
Yes.
There is nothing resembling any Four Seasons anywhere where we are. In Cambodia, just to give you some perspective, it's an island in the middle of the ocean, and that's it. And they had like housing for 40 people. We have 300. So we built housing. We bring in our kitchen team. You eat from 6 a.m. to 8:30. Then you eat from noon to 2:30. And then you eat from 6 to 8:30. That's it. That's when meals are served. Craft services consists of apples, some oranges, maybe a bag of nuts. There's no red vines.
Some bugs,
or
a monkey.
I'm just saying it's a little more army related.
I tease. I tease because I love.
Yeah, of course.
Have you ever had any contestant try and steal food from the actual place where you eat? Because I would imagine that would be a thing.
Yeah. It actually, and there was a season, I can't remember which one, where I think somebody did. I think they found our camera tent and got into it.
It was that damn Elizabeth Hasselbeck, wasn't it?
You love her, don't you?
I went to college with her.
Well, but everyone fell in love with Elizabeth.
Yeah, they didn't know Elizabeth.
Real quickly, I got to get this in because my wife and I are obsessed already with everybody on the show this season. Let's talk about Ty just a little bit. Our gardener, our friend, inexplicably on the Beauty Tribe.
That was a joke, right?
You don't see the beauty in Ty? Really?
Inner beauty, yes, for
he's
sure.
He's super spiritual.
We've expanded the idea of beauty to go within.
He looks really dorkish, though.
Oh,
he's adorable.
Within 30 seconds, he became Hall of Fame, one of the most favorite people ever to play.
I get that.
People love him.
No, he cares about all life and all its forms. He is like a little Buddha out there in the wilderness.
That's that is exactly what he's like. You're right.
He's the most peaceful, centered, calm person. He's the most entertaining you've had in a long, long time.
Yeah, I think people are going to continue to dig him as long as he's on the show, in the same way they dig Debbie for her eccentricities.
What do you think? Did you get any blowback from people who were put in the Brains Beauty or Brawn Tribe where they disagreed with the characterization of them? Because some of the strong people are also pretty, and some of the pretty people are also smart. I mean, you're putting them all in one bag. Anyone ever mad about that?
Well, it's pretty interesting that for the most part, when we interview people and we ask them questions like that, most people say this. Well, you know, honestly, I don't want my IQ scored, but I'm pretty bright. And, if you're 20, you know you're hot because you're 20. But if you're 50, you say, I'm pretty attractive for a 50-year-old. And then everybody thinks they can
you know, tough it out. That's why they're on Survivor. So the good news is you never insult anybody because they all just feel like I could have been on all three. So whichever one you put me on is great.
Gotcha.
And Alicia, it's inexplicable to me that she's still there. She has survived two tribal councils and good people have gone and she is just amazing.
I know. And Alicia is one that people ask me why she's on the Braun tribe. And I think we have failed so far in showing why, because she grew up in a boxing promoter life. Her dad is a boxing guy. And she's the one who walked in and said, I'm one of the toughest chicks you will ever meet. I don't take lip from anybody. I've been around a lot of guys who've had no other options in their life but to slug it out in the ring. I know what it's like. And I think that part of her is what gets her in trouble. She doesn't ever take any grief. You can't say anything to Alicia or she will talk back.
Yeah, she comes back at you immediately.
But then these guys on her tribe are being bullies. I mean, Jason and Scott they're pretty rough on her.
Scott's a dick, right?
Right now, he sure seems like it. He does.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's why I said it.
He can't change. I'm with you. But, I mean, people do evolve. But I think Scott and Jason together,
yeah,
they're rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Scott. He was a Celtic, I guess. He won a championship with the Boston Celtics, right? And played the NBA for a long time.
Right.
You had celebrities here and again pop up. Do you still talk sometimes about doing an all-celebrity edition of Survivor?
No, it's over. It's done. We tried. I tried. I truly tried, and I put together a schedule, a 12-day schedule, that we could do like 8 episodes and air it over the holidays, and we could shoot in somewhere like Hawaii. And I reached out to the few people I knew that might do it, and everybody's answer is the same. Love to, but can't here and here. Mm. Won't be able to make this. Can't guarantee it.
Yeah, schedule-wise, it seems like impossible.
But the guy from Queensryche, he's right. Right?
Scott would do it in a second.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. No, I guess he's not former. Rockinfield is still rocking. Yeah.
You say so. I didn't get my Queensryche newsletter this morning.
Come on. I feel like I got to say Scott took the brunt of that, and all he ever did was reach out to me as one of the nicest guys ever to say hi.
Yeah.
That was a raw deal.
But who was mean to him? I don't remember that part of the story.
Yeah, well, I was when I called him thinking he was Dave.
All right. So medical emergency tonight, our final moments here. Medical emergency tonight. Anything else you want to tell us about the season we're now in?
It rocks pretty much till the end. It's physical all the way till the end. This will be the most physically destroying season in terms of people and, you know, medical intervention and stuff like that.
I agree with Ralph that it really took off from the first second.
I love hearing that.
Did not wait. Like Ralph was saying, sometimes it takes 10, 11 episodes before you really get it. Doesn't take 10.
I think he said 2 or 3.
You said 23.
I said 2 to get the players straight.
Last season.
Maybe it takes you 10 episodes to get the players straight.
That's possible.
Last season we had a really good season. A lot of people loved it. So we were certainly concerned, you know, trying to follow that up. So it's good hearing that people are digging it.
I do love, and we talked about this earlier, Jeff, that everybody who's on the show has seen multiple seasons of the show and they all are experts.
Yeah.
Everyone who shows up goes, oh, but you don't understand. I know how to play the game.
Yeah. And the great
thing, that's what's magical about it.
Yeah. And if we've cast it right, Lynn Spillman does all of our casting. And if she's done her job right, then we have just enough collection of people that they don't know where their weak spots are. They don't know where they're lacking self-awareness.
When the cocky ones get knocked out early, it's just such a laugh. It's so much fun.
And they don't see it coming. And and you say, how come you can't? Because when you're out there, you really do believe you're locked in.
Liz and Peter thought they had the whole thing dialed in. They were already divvying up the money.
Well, here's the thing. The reason that that's legit is there are people right now who think they have it locked in, and they do. So somebody is right.
That's true. Yeah,
the question is who, and you have to believe you're right. Otherwise, you go insane.
Yeah.
So you decide Ralph and I are tight. I believe him. I believe that he has kids that he just swore in their life. I believe him. You know,
it's true.
Well, this was so much fun, Jeff. We're always we always love having you on. Even when you're only able to call in, we always look forward to that time. But this is so much fun having you in.
Thanks
studio.
For
we really
supporting
appreciate it.
Survivor for our entire run.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You guys do great work. Yeah, you absolutely deserve all of the applause and all the credit and all the awards. Survivor Brains, Brawn, and Beauty with another episode tonight at 8 on CBS. Let's hear it for Jeff Probst, you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54.
The People versus O.J. Simpson, one of our favorite shows on TV, airs Tuesday nights on FX. That means we've got the recap with special correspondent O.J. Simpson from prison coming up just after 9 this morning on K-Rock. May not actually be OJ, but it sure sounds like him. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Sad news today as we mark the passing of George Martin, legendary producer of a little band called The Beatles. Wow, what a life. What a career this guy had. Started out working for Parlophone Records in the UK in the late 50s, early 60s. He was mostly producing light classical music, some comedy records. Remember comedy records?
Barely.
Worked with like Peter Sellers and people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then a guy named Brian Epstein came in and said, I had this little band from Liverpool, and I think you might want to record them. And Martin said no. And then he met them, and he said, they're enormously fun to be around. They're a lot of charisma, but their music is rubbish.
He did not think much of their music.
He did not. And he took them under his wing and made them the biggest rock band in the world. So at 90, he has passed away. But sad news.
Do you guys think the Beatles would have ever been the Beatles had it not been for him?
They would have had maybe a couple one-hit wonders, but I don't think they would have had the career they had without his guidance.
Wow. He was enormously influential. As Ralph pointed out earlier, I mean, all of the different instruments, the experimentation that he had, and he, you know, rearranged a bunch of their songs. I mean, you know, like, they brought Please Please Me to him, and he was like, that's a terrible song, but I think I can fix it. You know what I mean? It was that sort of thing. He was the real helping hand. And there's a reason he's the fifth Beatle.
McCartney brought Yesterday to him, and the band said, yeah, it's pretty good. You should do it just you and a guitar. And Martin said, no, we should put a string quartet behind this. That would really set it off. And George said, we're a rock band. We don't use strings. And he said, let me just try it. And he did. And as you can imagine, it's one of the most popular songs in music history. So they had a lot going on. This is sad news also. A band that we still play here on K-Rock. Harvey Danger. Their bassist, Aaron Huffman, has passed away. So Flagpole Sitta. I'm guessing will be played sometime today as we celebrate the work of Mr. Huffman. Had respiratory failure, passed away on Sunday. He was 43 years old.
Oh, jeez.
And Justin Bieber's tour begins tonight in Seattle. Bean, this is your chance. You have the opportunity.
To take him out?
Yes. If years from now, when we go back, we say, you had the chance.
Uh-huh.
You didn't take the shot. Then this it's all the, on you. Then it's
this is the Hitler 1939 moment.
That's
this is it.
Right. This is Stephen King sending James Franco back in time. I'm not sure how that show works, but apparently
no, that's right, to stop Kennedy's assassination. Yeah,
yes,
you're right.
This
I'm
is
afraid
history.
The Bean's not the right guy to be.
No.
Be there.
Can you see him like in a black turtleneck and a beanie and black on his face, sneaking backstage like a ninja and then passing out and cracking his head open on a guitar case or something?
You're saying you don't think I'm qualified for this kind of a difficult mission, Kevin, because Steven's got a lot of security around him.
Correct. And you're frail, I think is also what he's saying.
Correct.
Yeah. Bean is not the secret agent type.
Maybe not, but that's why they won't see it coming. They'll look at me and they'll go, that old man, he's not a threat. Boom. Then I get in there. I ninja them.
Yeah, choke them out.
I'm sorry, you what? You ninja them?
I ninja them, yeah.
Is that a verb?
It is a verb.
I think
yeah.
It is. Is it not?
Speaking of Bean, I've got his show that he needs to be on, and I won't rest until it happens. The Game Show Network did a upfront presentation yet talking about their new TV series for the new coming season.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they've got a show called Winsanity.
Winsanity.
Now, already there's wordplay, which makes it perfect for Bean, in my opinion.
It does
but wait
love
till
that.
You hear the premise of Winsanity.
All right.
This is a game show on the Game Show Network where contestants will try to rank 10 facts in numerical order from highest to lowest.
Bean's going to be the king of that show.
Who ranks more than Bean?
Bean loves lists.
Daddy Likey.
A portion of the audience will win a prize each time the contestant is correct, but wait for it. When they're wrong, they take prizes away from the audience.
Oh, sweet.
So you will likely be murdered in the parking lot if you don't do well.
I like it.
Winsanity will be on the Game Show Network this coming year. So.
All right.
I'm not sure I approved. I'm not that excited.
No, I'm
because
interested.
You thought I would be excited. I'm going to prove you wrong and say I'm not
no,
excited.
I'm intrigued. I would like to hear more about it. Tell me
what do you
when
need
I can
to know more about it? I just explained the whole show
Winsanity.
To you.
Look it up.
All right, I need to apply.
That's
yes.
What I'm saying. Bean on Winsanity. Bean has a great track record on game shows.
Sure does.
I do. Remember Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Ray
sure.
Romano?
Yeah, I vouched for Bean. I said, Ray, this guy knows everything. He's
said,
a
he's the
an
smartest
encyclopedia.
Guy. Yeah.
So
smartest.
He was the call a friend?
He yep. was. And Ray mm-hmm. Romano called him. You don't know the story,
no!
Yep.
Yeah, Ray was like, I don't know the answer.
He's like, does he know everything? I said, he's the smartest person I know. He
yeah.
knows everything there is. There's no category.
I'm going to call a guy, a DJ in Los Angeles. His name's Bean.
Wish I could find that clip.
Oh, all right. We're going to call the bean.
Oh, this Regis.
Let's call the bean, yeah. Okay. And we'll see what he has to say.
Hello?
All right. I got the tape.
Did you find the tape?
Okay, here we go. I can find it. Right, show if you want.
In my defense, though,
I'll just play the tape.
Just play the clip.
In my defense, when I had the conversation with Ray ahead of him going to the taping, I never claimed that geography was my area.
Play
that
the clip.
All right, here we go.
Let's call this radio guy. He's a friend of mine. He has a radio station called the Kevin and Bean Show. His name is Beans Baxter. Let's call
Beans.
You
know, I know this guy.
Do
Let's
you know
get him? Beans on the line.
Supposedly
yeah, okay.
smart. Supposedly he's smart.
All right, AT&T, get us the Bean Man.
Okay, because Regis has been on our show a few times before, so he was familiar with it.
They both know Beans very
they
well.
They do know right, Beans well.
Close
by the way,
Beans.
It's true. No offense, because I love Ray, but he's making fun of me being dumb, and he's saying supposedly. All right, I just like to point that out.
I don't know that you're in a
Hello?
Position.
Hello, Bean.
yes, sir.
How are you? Regis Philbin here from ABC's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Regis, good evening to you.
How you doing?
Doing fine. How's my boy Ray? Does everyone still love him?
Everybody loves Raymond.
No!
Come
yep.
on!
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a little
no.
chuckle from the audience.
Even
that was...
Ben.
You're horrible!
File. File! That's
All right, Bean, when he comes on the line, he's going to read you the question. The four possible answers. One of them is the right answer. Start now.
What is the capital of the Republic of Georgia? Sofia, Vilnius, Tbilisi, Tallinn.
All right, now, Allie, is there any reason I should know the answer to that?
No, but I'd say Sofia.
You would say Sofia. Yeah. Right, the capital of the Republic of Georgia was the question. Again, not my area, okay?
Right.
Ray, I'm going to be completely honest with you here.
Oh.
I don't know that.
Anything? Can you narrow it down?
Yeah, see if Regis will accept Atlanta.
There's a state in Georgia. It's the same.
The crowd loved it.
But at the exact same time, Ray went, oh.
That's the best thing for you, pal. I'm sorry.
Oh. That's all right, thanks.
Oh.
Never doing your show again.
So much for the bean, huh?
So much right? for the bean, indeed. Yeah. So that was my one attempt at being on a game show, and it did not go very well.
What was the answer?
It was Tbilisi.
It was Tbilisi, yeah.
Tbilisi was the
right?
answer we're looking
I
for.
I just remember because of the clip. Don't think I knew
And I
that.
Think a lot of... I think a lot of kids died because that charity Ray was playing for didn't get the money, yep. so they just starved to death, if I remember correctly.
That's how it works.
So that's on you?
It's on Bean.
So much for the bean!
But how sweet is my revenge going to be when I am the all-time champion on Winsanity?
That's going to be
great, right?
Sweet.
Show them.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:38.
See what you're missing, Kevin?
Donald Trump brought out meat?
Yes, he
news.
Brought out meat.
I'm a kid.
He's a kid. He
this
did.
What you miss out on.
He brought out meat. He won a bunch more primaries. By the way, this is entertainment news, so don't anybody bitch that I'm eating into Ralph's time here. But he brought out at his press conference. He did a press conference last night instead of a victory speech or whatever after he won. What did he win? Mississippi and Michigan, I think. So he's in Florida, and he has an event, and he brings out his line of Trump steaks. His Trump wine, his Trump water, his Trump magazine, and he just has them all laying out on a table. And he doesn't, you know, he doesn't.
Are these all jokes?
No. He's saying how great he is at business. And he and even brings up the college. He's like, Trump University, I will win that lawsuit. Trust me on that. Like, it's bizarre.
98%. 98% of everybody went there. Loved it. Greatest college in America. Better than Harvard losers. Yale losers.
And he, you know, he doesn't have speeches, right?
Yeah.
He just rambles like whatever's on his mind. So he spent 6 minutes last night talking about all the various Trump products that he had on the table in front of him.
But were most of those failures?
Yes!
Really, Kevin?
That's that was what's the question fantastic you're about him.
You're right.
I'm saying.
Wait a minute. Is he a good businessman? Bad businessman?
That's what's awesome about Donald Trump, though, is we got a guy who's going to be our president who also has a line of steaks. I mean, that's the country we're
He takes his failures and just points them and says, these were successes. You're like, no, they weren't. Yes, they were. And everybody goes, oh, okay.
All right, then. He seems pretty sure.
Yeah. He said last night he was a winner because the American public is brilliant.
He did say that, yes.
I thought he liked the... What was it? What do you call it?
Uneducated.
I love the uneducated. Yeah. I love the highly educated, any educated. They're all brilliant because they vote for me. I have steaks. I have water. I have wine. And I got a magazine. What more do you need in a president?
That's right.
I have all four of those things.
Those are the new four freedoms that Norman Rockwell spoke of.
That's right.
All right. Anyway, you're missing a lot of stuff by not watching Jeez, Kevin. It really is. It's the greatest reality show on earth right now. It really is fantastic. Let's talk about what else is going on in show business. Here's our friend Ralph Garman.
You know who's not brilliant? Justin Bieber. After the UFC fight this past week, do you go online and talk about how awful Nate Diaz is?
Maybe that's not the right time to express that opinion.
I'm guessing he doesn't know anything about the Diazes either.
Yeah, they're not sane.
I mean, even if he lost, you don't go at him.
Bieber posted on his social media sites after the fight that McGregor is still the champ.
Well, he is at that weight class. True. Yeah.
Not at that weight class, at his previous
weight. At his weight class, he's still the champion.
Yeah. Not the one he fought in, though.
Right, no. Yeah. Right.
Conor is a true champion, fights with style and finesse. All the respect to Nate, but his style is terrible. That's not all the respect to Nate, is it, really? Diaz has responded online simply with this. I don't know if you saw this cartoon or not. It's Bieber saying, Nate, your style is terrible. And then just Nate just slapping him and saying, shut your bitch ass up. And he's just slapping Bieber in the face. And that was his response.
A positive Bieber wants to be wading into those waters.
I'm just saying. He opens his new tour tonight in Seattle, and we have an operative in the area. We've got boots on the ground.
Who's the operative? Who's boots?
Agent X. Agent X up there.
He means bean, Kevin.
Boots.
That's not possible.
Beans.
Beans.
Beans is up there. Just saying, we got to make our move. This may be our only chance.
But if beans are operative... I mean, let's just give that one up, right?
Yeah. Not exactly Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., is
it? Right. That's what I'm saying.
Like Agents of Panty Shields. Right? Who's with me?
Really?
Anything?
Really?
I think nobody's with you on that
one. Really? Oh.
Sorry. That one's on me. That's my bad. Ratings are in for last week. In terms of who's watching what on television. This was surprising to me, but well-deserved.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
The Voice. The Voice, the number one television show in prime time last week. The premiere on Monday night made them a smash hit last week. Second episode, the Tuesday episode of The Voice.
Wow.
So big ratings for The Voice.
And no wonder Carson Daly won't talk to us anymore in the halls.
That's right. Like he's in the halls. Never in the halls. He's like you. He phones it in from his jet. Modern Family was third. I was happy to see that. Then the fourth most popular show last week. Oh, a little program I like to call The Bachelor!
Why are you yelling that?
Because it's raining, Ben.
It is raining. So-
oh, yeah. Come on.
Let me give a little behind the scenes here. Ralph has been walking around trying to brag that he's going to be in the audience for The Bachelor finale coming up next week. And he can't get anyone who's jealous of that to give him the satisfaction
he's
of,
trying
oh,
to burn
really,
us.
Ralph?
He's really trying to burn us
with that.
Huge
and we're like,
burn.
Oh, my God, thank God we don't have to be there to see
huge
that.
Burn. You don't even know how burnt you are.
We're not at all burnt because you don't want to be
there.
If the
bed's on fire when you're asleep, you're still burnt.
Right, but I don't care.
Charbroiled! Charbroiled!
But I don't want to see The Bachelor.
That's my new mock. You like it?
Charbroiled!
It's not
I
just
say that to people. Oh, I do like some furious.
Now, will we see you on the TV if we tune in to watch the show? Are you going to be in the shadows in the back row?
Why the hell would they put me on television when they've got Ben
Higgins?
Because
you were a guest on the after the Bachelor show.
And JoJo and Lauren. Any one of those. Why? Why? Why?
Will they come to the audience and you'll be dancing too?
It's raining, Ben. Hallelujah. It's raining, Ben. Amen.
Charbroiled.
Keep working with that one.
Keep working with that one or keep working on that one? What should I do?
Either.
I think it's growing on
me
already. I think you got it there.
It was a tie at fifth in the ratings between Survivor and Grey's Anatomy. So our buddy Jeff Probst show also doing
Survivor
well.
Is still in the top 10 after all these years.
Oh, damn, Daniel. Goldbergs, seventh. Then a tie at number 8 between American Idol and NCIS. Oh, NCIS would be furious. Criminal Minds came in at number 10. And a three-way tie with The Big Bang Theory and The Real O'Neills.
Yay! It was so good. Martha Plimpton, she's the mom. They have problems with the kids. It's real good.
What's happening?
Such a good show. I'm glad people watched it, is all I'm saying, because it's a new show. You don't know how it's going to do. It's a great, great show. One of the kids gay. One of the kids has an eating problem. The other kid steals from the Catholic charity. It's adorable. Good night. My friend Steve Kazee is going to be on the show.
That's
he's
right.
not the he's, male yeah. lead.
I didn't know.
No,
well,
that's
I didn't
on
know
Nancy
Steve
Drew.
Steve Kuznets was on it. No, then in
Steve
that Kazee. Case,
he will also be on Nashville, which returns on March
16th. He's the man who invented Booyah.
He is not, but he's Booyah. Pretty great. Right. Well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think? That's a great question.
A good point.
She brings up really a great point.
She's the best.
Would you believe a girl from L.A. would love Bill Withers?
What?
No one would think that. That would be a shock and a surprise for everyone.
Ali has a lot of interesting questions.
Bill Withers was. Sad news. George Martin, record producer for the Beatles, has passed away. He was a classically trained musician in his own right before he became the head of Parlophone Records in the UK. And then, the rest is history. Signed a little band named the Beatles in 1962. Wound up producing just about all of their recordings. And he took pop music and turned it into a whole different animal. And just amazing work. Look, some of the work still holds up. You listen to Strawberry Fields Forever, what he does with backtracking and turning tape around and playing it backwards and adding musical instruments you wouldn't necessarily at the time think belonged in a pop or rock song, brass and string instruments. Just a remarkably visionary producer. Stuff we take for granted now, he really kind of created single-handedly. Amazing stuff. And this is in the time where there was no electronic elements you could put in. Everything had to be done with tape, and he would cut and flip stuff around and splice, and just a remarkable record.
We were talking about this earlier. I don't think you were in the room, Ralph, but he also was a better piano player than either John or Paul and ended up playing on a bunch of those records, too. Like, that's him on Rocky Raccoon, for instance, that's him playing the guitar. I mean, the piano and on Lovely Rita, a lot of songs. He's a talented musician as well.
So, sad news. He will be missed. Sad. I'm saying it's sad.
Right.
And Sharknado 4. That's a thing.
Now you're talking my language.
Sci-Fi has just announced the casting news for fourth edition of Sharknado.
Not speaking?
No, talking.
Okay.
You know, I can't stop for all of them. I just, you know, I only have so much time. Right. Just, really, you want to break down all the syntax? Sharknado 4 unveiled its cast today. There's the usual suspects are returning. Of course, Ian Ziering.
Sure.
Tara Reid.
Weird Al Yankovic.
No, he's not in the cast. Tommy Davidson is a new addition to the cast. He's a very funny actor. He'll be a part of it.
Where Jim are Morrison. You, Chuck?
Can you take turns or give each other the high sign or something?
Okay, you go, Bede.
Is there a way to work it
Hi,
out?
Hi, this Where is Luther Vandross.
David Hasselhoff's coming back. He was in 3. But the name that got us all really excited this morning was...
Charlie Manson.
No, he did not. He had to back out due to schedule.
Miley Cyrus?
Miley's not in it.
Turd Ferguson.
He's not a real person. Dude, who's playing 2 in a row? You don't get to play 2 in a row.
Batman?
Who's the BG that's still alive?
Barry.
Sarah Abramson?
Gary Busey.
Gary Busey.
That's to the cast. So that's good news for everyone who likes crazy people.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer...
Why would he be in Sharknado 4?
Jesus.
And here's a casting notice. If you want to be on television. You want to be on television, Big Brother is casting. Big Brother.
We got to get the Armenian comedian on that.
Okay.
Oh, my
imagine
God,
work on
they'd
that.
Murder him.
Season 18 is casting, doing an open call. Not this Saturday at all. Thanks for this, Dave. March 19th. Circle your calendars. March 19th is the date.
A week from Saturday.
At the Beso restaurant in Hollywood. Beso. You know, that means kiss in Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you win if you win the Big Brother?
You get the You get the coveted crystal dildo.
I don't think that's right.
Is that?
I'm sure it's a cash amount.
Are you positive about that one?
I'll have to agree to disagree on this one.
Because I was noticing when Probst was in earlier that it's still $1 million for Survivor. I was just wondering what they're paying if you win Big Brother.
Can I just talk about this and be done? Can we just do that?
Is Bean still on the show? Then no.
Besso Restaurant in Hollywood from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you'd like to be on Big Brother, then you go there and do that.
What will they be serving, Ralph?
What? Does everyone get a free toothbrush in the Big Brother? You have to bring your own, I wonder. It makes me think. Just what about those pool toys? Do you inflate them yourselves? Or do they come pre-inflated at the pool of the Big Brother house?
It might help for people to make a decision about whether they want to apply to be on that show if there's a big cash reward.
What dishwasher detergent do you think they use? Are they Calgon? Today's celebrity birthdays, 30 seconds to Mars drummer Jared Leto. He's 46 years old today. Actor Oscar Isaac celebrates his 37th birthday. Newfound Glory's guitarist Chad Gilbert is 35. And actress Brittany Snow celebrates her 30th birthday. She's lovely and talented.
She's adorable.
And adorable.
Adorable.
Yes.
Really?
Late, well. The late precincter just reporting in. She's also adorable. Because lovely and talented just didn't
wasn't
cover
enough.
It, apparently.
Wasn't enough.
It was not a complete enough description.
It's pretty delightful.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin DeBean show. Ryan Getzlaff from the Ducks will join us. We have speaking of sports, we have Jim Rome on the program tomorrow. We have Dr. Drew on the show tomorrow. Brand new Internet Roundup.
Quack.
And Beer Mug on the red carpet for Brothers Grimsby.
Oh, my Lord.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new show.